scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We can do this together. There is no I in freedom. Freedom is not me-dom. It's we-dom.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's a sausage competition.
Oh, in like sausage eating?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
King of the kubasa.
I bet it's delicious.
It is.
Can we talk about something other than penises?
Bob bends to the pressure of his peers to be somebody and smokes a joint. That's street talk for a marijuana cigarette. Bob lights up and takes a drag. What he doesn't realize is that this seemingly harmless act will bring the walls of his reality crashing down.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He's out with his broken mind.
Roll another one.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
Just like
that sounds really constructive.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Can you just email me the rest of this story?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick.
Who writes this junk anyway?
Omar Khan.
Just like the other one.
And how often have you used it?
This one seems to be about to end.
You're beginning to sound a little ridiculous.
I don't have another cent.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
Yeah. But the one guard that joins.
Very, very clever.
Just pass it around.
And now,
this is Santa Monica,
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Friday morning, the 19th of April.
Only the craziest day ever if you're watching the news. My God, it's turning into Die Hard 8 or something out there, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
for folks who haven't been paying attention, the Boston Marathon bombers, one of them's dead, the other one's on the loose. Last night they killed a police officer and then stole his car and then carjacked another car and then held up a 7-Eleven and then were throwing explosives out the window. I mean, the thing is just insane. It's like, you can't believe it's real, right?
Yeah, they had grenades they were throwing at the police.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
No.
Imagine going that far wrong in your life when you're only 19 years old, by the way, as one of the brothers was. They're brothers, too, from Chechnya, apparently, living in America for some time, undetermined how long. The 26-year-old, the older brother, is dead. The 19-year-old, I think, is the one on the loose. But imagine going wrong that young.
Yeah. They obviously went wrong way before this.
Yeah. Man. And then trying to hold up a 7-Eleven. I mean, after this all happened, they had laid low, they could have probably not gotten away, but been free a little bit longer. Yeah. I mean, they just seem to be careening into...
You're applying logic to people who may not have that capability right now.
That's true. No escape plan.
I know everybody's, not everybody. A lot of people are hoping they find and kill this second guy, but I'm kind of hoping they can take him alive and try to figure out what the hell was going on. Like, where's all this coming from? Not that any explanation is acceptable, but it'd be curious to find out what's happening. Like, what's the point here, right?
Yeah. I'd be fine if they took him out.
I think really? You're not interested to know why they did it?
No, because most of the time we won't find out anyway, and most of the time it's something that has nothing to do with, reality.
Well, a lot of times those clues help identify future terrorists, though, if you learn more about terror networks and things like that, if they're even affiliated with any. We don't know. There's so many questions. I think if you have the shot at information, it's nice if you can get it. But
double tap.
There is... One man in the news as a result of being in the wrong place at the wrong time twice. Joe Birdie is his name. Maybe you guys have heard about him. He works for a company called Tetra Fitness in Austin, Texas. And one of the things that that he does is raise money for a charity that helps children with medical issues. So he was raising money by running the Boston Marathon over the weekend. And he had just crossed the finish line 30 seconds before the first explosion went off. He turned around. He saw the smoke. He saw that it was a bomb. Then the second explosion occurred. He saw a wave of people running. His wife, by the way, was near the finish line, had taken a picture of him as he was crossing. And she was hit by shrapnel, was uninjured. But a woman next to her had her leg torn off from the knee down and lost all the fingers on her left hand.
Oh, my God.
So they were really close to these explosions. They had a terrible end of a marathon race in Boston. So they get back on the plane to get out of Boston on Tuesday. The marathon was Monday. And then he goes back to work in Austin on Wednesday, has a meeting in Dallas. Driving home from the meeting in Dallas, he drives on the highway through West Texas, a couple of hundred yards from where the fertilizer plant exploded.
Oh, my God.
What's up with that guy?
Are you serious?
You've got to be kidding, he remembers thinking. He described the giant fireball as a massive force that shook his car. My next reaction was to get out of there because something fell on the top of my car. Some debris or something was falling from the sky. The highway was immediately filled with black smoke billowing in front of him. He held his breath and drove on. Finally got his wife on the phone, and she said, we need to move or something. You need to be standing in an open field or just get the hell away. How are you this close to two bombs in the course of 4 days?
If I were her, I'd say, do not come home.
Yes.
Go anywhere else for another month, and then we'll reconvene maybe.
So is he the luckiest guy going or the unluckiest guy going? I think lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, not as lucky as those of us who weren't anywhere near either bomb. I guess we're luckier, but in terms of being in the wrong place, wrong time, he's got to, you know, count his lucky stars.
That's nuts. Scary,
you know? There was that that one guy who famously was in Hiroshima when the bomb dropped at work. And, of course, 100,000 casualties or something like that. He escaped that, drove home to his home in Nagasaki, where 3 days later the next bomb dropped. And he survived that and lived to be 93 years old.
Wow.
So
then our guy here is nothing.
Yeah,
exactly. I always think, I don't know, maybe there's a phone topic one day on the Kevin and Bean Show of close calls that you had over the course of time. Because, I always think about me being in San Francisco for the Loma Prieta 1989 quake, and then being in Northridge very near the epicenter of the Northridge quake in 94, and then being in Seattle in the 2002 7.1 earthquake that hit here. I thought that's a bad run of luck over the course of about 12 years.
Yeah, I blame you for all of it.
Three biggest earthquakes on the West Coast in the last 100 years. I was on all three of them, so that's kind of weird. But maybe we ought to talk to people one day and find out their stories, because it's bizarre when stuff like that
happens. Now, what is that? Is that just bad luck or you're cursed?
Neither. I mean, it's just a coincidence,
Please, you're cursed.
Life is crazy.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Are you in charge of being a douchebag? Because you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Rob Zombie will be here.
Awesome.
Got a new CD.
I love Rob.
Got a new movie called The Lords of Salem. Can't wait to talk to him. Very excited about that. We have One Night Stands Gone Wrong.
And Lisa.
Some of these can be terrible. The story we had yesterday, the girl wouldn't leave his apartment. It was his apartment.
She kind of went crazy.
She went crazy. Yeah. She took a knife to him. He called the police. She had a standoff with the SWAT team.
Like a six-hour standoff.
Yeah.
He's lucky to be alive.
That is a bad choice for a one-night stand. All right, we got the movie beat because it is Friday. And we have a new Twitter game that we're going to play today. I think you're going to enjoy that.
Okay.
And we have your final chance. This is the final time that we're giving away tickets, 3-day passes.
Well, why don't we give some away next week then? Why are we
quitting
now? For
Coachella. Well, because Coachella is only this weekend, and then it's gone.
Well, that does make sense. I hate to agree with you.
And then we could give away tickets to that country festival, whatever that is.
Stagecoach.
But
sure.
I don't think we'd get any callers.
Stagecoach. Woo!
I don't think we'd get any callers for that.
They're going to be honky-tonking.
We will take a break and come back with a showbiz beat.
There's got to be a way we can pin this Boston thing on Beer Mug, right? Isn't that just the answer to all of our problems? Get him the hell out of here now.
I think he's got an alibi.
Yeah. I'll keep working on it. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
These Kardashians have to be stopped, right?
Agreed. Absolutely.
I mean, Boston has their problem. We've got ours.
Right.
Where's our SWAT team rolling out to take out these people?
Should we go into lockdown?
Let's go into lockdown and just just hunt down the Kardashians. You can't miss them.
No,
go door
true.
To door until we find them all, round them all up.
Exactly.
Yeah, and send them to Guantanamo. I'm in.
Especially now that two of the three of them are giant. The only one that could slip through our cordoned off area would be Courtney.
Yeah, true.
Right.
The rest of them can barely move.
And she's the least offensive.
Exactly.
So if she got away, it'd be okay.
Porn star Kim Kardashian, according to In Touch magazine, is gaining as much weight as she possibly can during her pregnancy because she is taking offers now to secure a huge weight loss television deal for a huge payday from one of the competing weight loss program companies.
What a weird deal this is.
She figures if she just packs on as much weight as possible.
Smart.
It'll be a bigger payday for her when she goes to lose it with either Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or what have you.
She has so much money.
It just doesn't matter, Lisa. These people, I think, become addicted to the deal. Become addicted to the
and she gets to be on commercials.
Exactly.
She gets to
be on TV a bunch, yeah.
God
well,
almighty.
Ralph, if I recall correctly, Jessica Simpson, who's not nearly as big a star, and her tabloid days were mostly behind her at the time she signed the deal, got something like $4 million for her weight loss program.
She never actually was able to cash in on that.
Yeah, because she never
she did lose the weight.
Because it was predicated
right.
on the weight loss.
But, I mean, that kind of money was available to her. What do you think they'd pay Kim Kardashian? They'd pay her 10, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
How great would it be if she couldn't lose any?
That's the only thing I think would make the whole situation redeemable.
That would be awesome.
Here's the thing. She's always been like that. If you listen to Nick Lachey, who, of course, was married to Jessica Simpson, who we were just talking about, he was in the boy band 98 Degrees back in the day. And before Kim Kardashian was a star, back in 2006, they went on a date. Nick tells Details Magazine that he took her out to a movie in 2006. And during the film, she tipped off the paparazzi where they were, so that when they came out of the movie theater, there would be photographers waiting for them there to take pictures. And
so she called them herself.
Put their pictures in the magazine.
And he didn't run right then. He's an idiot.
Well, sounds like that was their only date.
Yeah, it was their only date. So
maybe he did.
Nick Lachey and Kim Kardashian didn't have a long relationship, but he said no photographers followed them there. But 30 photographers mysteriously, showed up afterwards. He said, there are certain ways to play this game, and some people play it well regarding Kim Kardashian. Hmm. So even then, she was trolling for fame. Meanwhile, Kris Jenner, her mother, has spawned the next super couple.
Now,
Kylie Jenner, 15 years old, is now dating Jaden Smith, Will Smith's kid.
Well, of course she is.
Reportedly, this has been orchestrated by Kris Jenner. Jaden told Wonderland magazine, I was in L.A., we're all hanging out. Then I came to New York, and she came too. She came there to surprise me. That's pretty baller. Okay. Would you let your 15-year-old daughter fly across country to go spend time with some boy?
No.
No.
Not in a million years.
But apparently,
if it would get
Kris
her in the tabloids,
put
yes.
her on the plane and said, you go get that one. Don't come home without a star.
Do whatever he tells you to do, as long as it's on film.
Sick making. Meanwhile, okay, let's look at the other end of the spectrum. You know Penelope Cruz?
Yeah.
Sure.
Brilliantly talented actress. Stunning.
Agreed.
Lovely to look at.
Yep.
You know what she did before she became a star? One of the things she accomplished in her life?
Oh, I'm sure it was some sort of, animal rescue or something like that.
Right? Better. Better.
Architect.
She was a volunteer alongside the late Mother Teresa in Calcutta.
She was
before
not.
She became a movie star.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my.
She aided Mother Teresa in her mission in Calcutta, India for a while. Fed the poor. That's one of the things she did.
Wow.
She's the anti-Kardashian.
She is.
Yeah. She's
the
opposite. And
she's the anti-us as well, by the way.
Well, true. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not nearly as good a person as that, but still. Very impressive. Showtime yesterday officially announced that Dexter's 8th season will indeed be its last. Ratings are still very high for the series, but apparently Michael C. Hall has not renewed his deal, and everyone connected to the project thinks it's time to put Dexter to bed.
I really need to kill somebody.
I know how you feel, Dex. This will give them
a good run.
This is a great run, and it'll give them a great opportunity to wrap up the storyline however they see fit. So I'm sure it'll be very exciting, and I'm looking forward to, once again, this summer at Comic-Con, hosting
the Dexter panel. It's the first time ever we'll be doing the Dexter panel, and the show will be on the air by then. So we'll be talking about a season that's already in progress when we're there. So that
usually you preview the new season,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So look forward to that.
Ralph, you got to pace yourself a little bit this year at Comic-Con. You don't have to do everything all the time, always.
No, just methamphetamines and coffee. I'm just going to burn through it.
Ralph has about a 19-hour-a-day schedule down in San Diego every year.
Yeah, it gets a little hectic.
It's funny. Ralph runs past us, you know. We'll see him in San Diego.
See,
we can't even tell it's him.
Can I go to that panel? You guys will see the interview with him.
You're running around full speed back and forth. And as Bean mentioned, it's a horrible time in America right now. It just seems like we're just a glut of catastrophes and tragedies. We've got the West Texas situation. Yeah. Boston, of course, is now currently in lockdown. They're telling people in Boston, do not leave your homes. Everyone has to stay inside. Businesses
closed
are
down
closed.
The mass transit, everything.
Yeah. It's horrible as they look for this second bombing suspect. And now we've got our own tragedy here in Los Angeles. George Lopez is coming back to television.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's comparable.
Oh, have you ever watched the George Lopez show?
No, I have not.
Yeah, well, then don't. Then shut up.
All right.
He had a sitcom on ABC for ran for 5 seasons, the George Lopez show. Then he had that horrible talk show. Now the FX network is giving him a new hour-long sitcom called St. George. Here's the storyline in a nutshell. He's a recently divorced working-class Mexican-American turned successful entrepreneur. He's got an over-the-top ex-wife, an 11-year-old son, an overbearing mother who just moved in with him, and his crazy uncle, St. George. There you go. What did we do to deserve that? What happened there?
Yeah, are we being punished
for
something?
I don't know. We're sorry. FX, we're sorry. Whatever we did, we're sorry. How can we make it up to you? FX.
The hour's coming.
The hour's here, people. Trust me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hayden Christensen, 32 years old today. You remember him? He destroyed Star Wars. Good times.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson, 34 years old. James Franco is 30.
Can I get a ruling on Kate Hudson? We got a long day ahead of us. I say
no. I think she's cute. Oh, I haven't seen her in a while, but I think she's cute.
Wow, that was a pretty emphatic no, Bean.
I'm way down on her.
What? How can you be way down on her?
I don't think she's at all attractive.
At worst, she's just cute.
Really
at best,
cute.
She's hot.
I agree.
Overruled. Lisa, what say you, Lisa?
I'm with Ralph.
Okay. Hey, this is why I ask you guys.
Your barometer's way
overruled. I mean, Almost Famous Kate Hudson? Absolutely. Whatever the last
almost
80 romantic comedies.
Almost any Kate Hudson. I think she's pretty cute.
Yeah. Even now, though, she looks like your mom.
No,
what?
She doesn't.
She does.
That's madness.
What are you talking about?
She does.
That's
she's
crazy
thick.
Talk.
I don't approve. All right. Bell it is.
Jesse James. Motorcycle builder extraordinaire and TV personality. He's 44 years old today. Actress Ashley Judd turns 45. Suge Knight is 48. And actor Tim Curry, probably still best known from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. How do you do? I see you've met my... I love Tim Curry. 67 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz...
This morning at 10 a.m., our little friend Kat Corbett is going to be broadcasting from the desert once again at the K-Rock Coachella House with all sorts of great live performances and interviews, including the band Palma Violets, Kevin, that you saw last weekend. They're going to be on at 11:30 with Kat.
So they were good. That was a Bean suggestion, and I went and checked them out, and they were good.
Local natives, Franz Ferdinand, Portugal the Man, a lot of good acts throughout the day today, and then tomorrow you can watch all of it at krock.com. It is Friday. Ralph Garman is here, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world someone has been watching, one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Quite the mixed bag in Cineplexes this weekend. A cornucopia, if you will.
If I knew what that meant, I might.
You know what a cornucopia is. The horn of
a
plenty,
lot
man.
Of different things.
You've seen the big horn, like in Thanksgiving time, with the fruit and the vegetables and everything coming out of
just
that big
spilling
horn.
Out.
It's a cornucopia, my friend.
All right,
let's start off with a film starring Lou Diamond Phillips is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
Are we excited about that?
Edward James Olmos.
Oh, I like him.
Film stars Gina Rodriguez as a promising hip hop rapper. She finds herself in a gray area when a record producer offers her a compromising shot at stardom. What does she do? Does she remain true to herself, or does she go to grab the brass ring? What does she do? She's torn. She's Philly Brown. That's right.
That's the
Philly
name?
Philly Brown.
That's her name?
Yeah.
Here's some scenes from Philly Brown.
You dreaming about 50,000 screaming fans?
Dreams don't pay the bills, Eddie.
And the music hits.
You feel no pain.
You stay away from my family.
Understand, when you sign this contract, that's on you.
I'm gonna do this. You cannot tell Dad.
Is this about the money?
That's none of your business. I want you to be a star. Superstar.
Get your hands off my daughter.
It's gonna take you coming together as a family. She's too far gone.
Girl, you're a little too hot right now. But I gotta get on that mic.
Philly Brown!
Yeah, Philly Brown! I should call this movie Ocho Mile. Ocho Kilometer.
8 Mile.
Yeah, this looks... I'm just saying.
Yeah. Could be good.
I look at this and I say, Edward James Olmos.
Right.
How did he... What the... Yeah. His son is one of the producer directors.
Hey, there you go. There's your answer.
It helps. Helps to have friends in the business. Here's a movie I can get behind. The Lords of Salem, director Rob Zombie.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Did I hit that? Was that me? I'm sorry.
No, it was you.
I apologize.
I'm out of time already?
No,
sorry, Rob. I can't talk about your film. You can take that up with Bean later. That's okay.
Moving the mouse on the screen, and somehow that played by accident. I apologize. I love Rob Zombie. This movie looks great.
Then why am I out of time? Why are you trying to get me off the air?
You're not out of time.
Why are you trying to get me off the air?
I apologize to everyone involved.
Rob Zombie's new film, The Lords of Salem, about a radio DJ who is sent a box containing a record, a gift from the Lords, and turns out the music triggers flashbacks of her town's violent past. Is the devil coming back to reclaim Salem? Are the witches returning? Is it all happening again in Salem, Massachusetts?
This girl, the lead, is freaky looking.
Sherry Moon Zombie?
Oh. Yeah, his wife.
His wife?
Rob's wife.
Oof.
Why you say that to him when he comes in?
She's been taken
hours?
Over by the devil. Have you guys seen the trailer?
Yeah, yeah. She's a DJ, man. That's why she looks all crazy. She says, "Hi, there's a devil's coming."
And she's married to Rob. That'll put some ears on you.
Sure. Bruce Davidson is also stars in the film. One of my favorite actors, Meg Foster. Great cast and just a terrifying trailer, as Kevin mentioned. Here are some scenes from the trailer of Lords of Salem.
On a rare occasion, a special child appears.
The curse of the Lords of Salem, possessing the souls of the Salem women, which the devil's child would inherit the earth.
Satan, come to us!
God does not spare angels when they sin.
Yeah, he's good.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, it's a different film.
No.
Come on! I got another movie! And lastly, Oblivion, the new Tom Cruise sci-fi film starring Morgan Freeman. Olga Kurylenko, by the way. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. You watch that Magic City? You watch that Magic City with
no.
Olga Kurylenko?
Oh, but I've seen her in other stuff.
Good deal.
Yep.
Oblivion stars Tom Cruise as a man who's left behind on Earth. He is there assigned to extract Earth's remaining resources. Everyone's had to leave the planet after an alien invasion, but it turns out he is not alone like he thought he was. There is a group of humans still living and fighting on the planet, led by Morgan Freeman. This looks like your classic science fiction tale. Here are some clips, rather, from the trailer of Oblivion.
60 years ago, Earth was attacked. We won the war, but they destroyed half the planet. Everyone's been evacuated. Nothing human remains. We're here for drone repair with a mop-up crew.
Jack.
How do you know my name?
They're firing on survivors.
They won't stop till they find me.
If you're looking for the truth, that's where you'll find it.
This is the only way.
Ah!
This looks good.
Yeah, it does look good. I love this kind of apocalyptic end of the world sci-fi kind of stuff.
And now, may I ask, because we've talked in the past.
It does look loud.
We like it. We've talked in the past how Tom Cruise, for some moviegoers, has become too unbelievable in any role because he's Tom Cruise. He's so famous as a celebrity now and so many other much baggage. Are you able to put that aside for a film like this and just enjoy him as an actor?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, this kind of film where Tom Cruise plays a man with almost a religious fervor in battling aliens who would take over and pollute our planet by releasing their spirits and souls into the remaining people onto the planet. I have a hard time believing that for some reason. No, he looks good. I think he is best used when he is sort of a cog in a wheel and you can kind of put him in a role a la Mission Impossible, one of these things where there's a strong storyline and he just kind of gets swept away with the premise, rather than trying to make him the central personality of a film.
That's not easy. I mean, I'm hoping and I'll go, but you never know.
He is a terrific actor, too, but he's the opposite of Daniel Day-Lewis, a guy who doesn't exist outside of being on the screen.
Yeah,
you
Tom
know?
Cruise does not disappear into his characters.
Right.
Sometimes you can often see Tom Cruise working really hard on the screen to act as big as much as hard as he can.
Yeah.
And in this kind of film, which has a large scope and it has a lot of special effects and things, I think this might be well suited.
Then you got Morgan Freeman, who offsets him.
He often grounds everything he's in because he buys everything with Visa. It's where you want to be.
My pick for the weekend is Lords of Salem. Why? Because Rob Zombie's coming in later.
Nice pick.
Look,
it'll kick your ass if you don't.
Honest,
pick.
I don't want to cheese off Rob Zombie.
Bean's already out of time for it, so you got to stand up.
I know. You're saying horrible things about his wife. Bean says I'm out of time and I can't talk about his movie. I'm on Rob's side on
this
one.
His wife's taken over by the devil.
I choose Rob. I'm Team Rob. I'm Team Zombie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
It is your final day, obviously, to win your tickets for a 3-day pass for Coachella weekend number two. We've got those coming up for you here on the... Yep. What's happening? Is someone on the phone?
Yeah! Someone's on the phone.
Hey, Roland.
Roland! What? Why do you keep doing this to us? You can't just break into the show whenever you want to. We've got a schedule. We've got other things we're doing on the show.
You're not doing what you should be doing.
Have you been drinking, Roland?
Yeah, I've been drinking!
What's happening? Where are you?
I am in Cleveland!
Well, I would drink too then, I guess.
Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks!
That's what I've heard.
Cleveland rocks!
You got out of your mom's basement. Congratulations.
Oh, F you.
I thought you only left the basement to go to either the movies, Star Trek conventions, or comic book stores.
Well, you're wrong, aren't you?
Why are you all the way in Ohio?
No one is that happy to be in Cleveland.
Oh, it's so awesome. I'm here for Superman's birthday party. Woo!
Oh, Ralph mentioned that yesterday.
We have been partying all night long, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you say we, who exactly are you joining there?
Me and Carl and Andrew. What's your name? Samuel. All the Superman fans are all here in Cleveland celebrating Superman birthday. Woo! Superman!
Sounds like kind of a sausage fest, though, doesn't it, Roland?
Listen to me. We are Superman fans, and we are all here where Superman was born on his 75th birthday.
Now, explain, just because I apologize, I don't know the mythology. How was Superman born in Cleveland? I thought he came from the planet Krypton.
I hate you.
I'm sorry, I don't understand, Roland.
Reasonable?
Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the men who created him, were from Cleveland and created him here in Cleveland.
I see.
Oh, I see. So the fake Superman. I got those comic book Superman.
The real Superman. And then they sold the rights to DC Comics for Superman for $419.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Was that a good investment, do you think?
Not a good investment. A good investment for DC Comics, not a good investment for Siegel and Schuster.
Of course. Now, when Ralph was talking about this story on the radio yesterday, he said that they were having birthday cake at the Cleveland Airport, and that was the extent of the celebration. Is that true?
That's not the extent. First of all, I got it for playing in Cleveland Airport. Superman had cake!
Right.
I had super cake!
Right.
And... I didn't enjoy the cake.
Why not?
Because it was made up of Clark bars and Kent cigarettes.
No. Oh, that doesn't sound good.
I understand what they were shooting for, but it did not make a tasty mix.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's not good. It because it's Superman's birthday!
Right.
Kal-El!
Roland.
Then you got back on the plane and went home.
We don't need no water. Let that mother effer burn.
I've never heard Roland like this before.
So yeah, me and Andrew and Carl and what's your name?
Samuel.
Yeah. We started partying, right?
Uh-huh.
And we've been doing kryptonite shots all night long, man.
Well, what's in that?
That's Midori and Diet Mountain Dew.
It sounds terrible,
but
Roland.
It's really green. It glows.
Right, that's what you look for.
And then you shoot it. Shoot it.
Right. I hate to ask, because I'm terrified of the visual, but are you wearing a Superman suit?
I am not wearing a Superman suit, no.
Oh, you're not? Okay,
I'm wearing Superman underoos.
Okay.
Which is underwear with a Superman logo.
It's much
on
more
it.
Disturbing, yeah. But
these
discreet.
These are the same
more
ones I had when I was 10. They don't fit nearly as well anymore.
Right. Yeah, you're a big boy. That's why I was asking about the suit.
It is
so.
In the spirit of Superman birthday! Superman!
Does your mom know that you're gone, that you're out of town, or do we need to call her?
Listen to me, you people that I hate.
Right.
I don't have to check in with my mother, okay?
Well, you live with her.
So? Maybe she lives with me.
You don't have a car.
So? I took a plane. I flew like Superman to Cleveland!
Right.
All right.
Okay. And I had cake made up of cigarettes.
Right,
and,
yes, you did.
And Midori. And,
oh, no, Roland. No. Oh, please. Oh, no. Come on, man. Roland. Oh. Roland, you of all people.
Whoa. Hey, that looks exactly like Lex Luthor.
One night stands gone wrong. Couple of celebrities in the news having that exact same problem. We'll talk about that after the top of the hour and take your phone calls, plus Rob Zombie later in the show as well. It's the Kevin and Bean program for a Friday, 6:51. Rob is here, type of the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
I want to party with Roland. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It did sound like he was having a good time at the Cleveland airport.
I'm going to try those Superman, those kryptonite shots he was talking about. It sounds delicious.
Speaking of Superman, good news for Warner Brothers. Their outstanding lawsuit against the outstanding lawsuit brought against them by Jerry Siegel, who was one of the creators of Superman, has been tossed out of court. They
was he saying they stole it?
No, the estate of Jerry Siegel said they had rights above and beyond what they sold initially to DC, and that they wanted additional compensation for the character. But the judge tossed it out, saying that an earlier settlement that they made with the family of Jerry Siegel in 2001 gave the company complete rights to use Superman, Superboy, and other characters established by Siegel and Schuster
Superboy
in any way that
thing?
They want. Superboy, yeah, the story of Clark Kent.
And Supergirl, too.
So, Siegel family not getting any more money out of Warner Brothers or DC Comics. So, it looks like big business wins again. I feel bad for a lot of these comic book creators because they do tend to sell the rights to these characters for a pittance early on, and then they become these massive properties and these merchandising juggernauts, and they never get a cut of any of that.
Yeah, so they must just sit by the wayside and just watch and go, wow.
So sometimes the families will go back and try to renegotiate their original deals, and often they'll give them some sort of cursory payout of like $250,000 or something like that. Meanwhile, they're making billions of dollars off these characters.
That's really crappy.
It is kind of crappy that they don't give them a nicer slice.
Nothing
they
gave wrong with $250,000.
Yeah, but if they gave them like an ongoing 2 or 3% of total sales or something in the long run, it would really be a minuscule amount for the corpse, and then these families would have an annuity that could, you know, carry on for the rest
of
their lives.
Let's not bring the corpse into it. I mean, the guy died. It's
corporations.
Not his
fault. Corporations.
Oh, sorry.
For God's sakes. All right, let's talk about movies that are completely unnecessary. How about a remake of Weird Science, the classic 1985 John Hughes movie? Remember, it starred Anthony Michael Hall. He played one of the nerds who creates the perfect woman in their lab and comes out with Kelly LeBrock. Remember that?
Sure. Maybe the perfect woman.
That was a good batch right there. So they're going to remake that. No word on who will star with the reboot of that movie yet. I guess it could be okay, I guess.
Depends on who does it.
It's just a hot chick, really, coming out of the machine or whatever. I guess that's all you really need.
When are they going to remake Zapped? That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, Zapped. I miss Zapped. And Jack Black and Will Ferrell are teaming up for a movie. Is this the first time we've ever seen these two guys work together in a film?
I think so.
It just seems like they should have been together before.
They do run in the same circles, don't they?
Yeah, they did that very funny bit on the Oscars. Remember when they came out together and
presented.
Apparently, it is going to be called Tag. They'll be starring in a film about a pair of brothers who are who started this elaborate game of tag in prep school in Spokane, Washington. They're now in their 40s, and they schedule an elaborate game of tag with their classmates every year. They concoct a giant game of tag. Now, this is based on a true story that ran in the Wall Street Journal last year, and so the comedy is based on this actual pair of brothers who set up this elaborate game of tag every year. That could potentially be funny, I think.
It could be. I've heard interviews with the guys involved in that, and the elaborate lengths that they go to. I mean, you'll be laying on the beach in Hawaii, and all of a sudden this guy will show up and tag you, you know, or he'll
tag
be waiting in your car in the parking lot after work. I mean, it's just crazy what they go through to do it.
Bitchin'. And bad news for Psy. You know, Psy, Gangnam Style Psy.
Why? What's bad news? I thought he just released that new song.
He's got that new video. It's a monster hit on YouTube, Gentlemen, which is very different than Gangnam Style.
It's exactly the same.
I have to remind you.
Go ahead.
It's very different. The video will not be shown on state-run TV in South Korea.
Really?
His own video in his home country will not be seen by South Koreans.
Is he like a hero there?
He's a monster. He's a god.
Huh. Why?
But his video won't be seen. Well, initially, I thought it's because there's a lot of product placement in the video. If you watch it, there's like a paper company and his beverages and stuff, all of which Psy is a spokesperson for all these products.
Ah.
And they've got very strict rules about product placement in South Korean television specifically. But apparently, that's not the problem.
What is the problem? The
problem is Psy, in the course of the video, kicks a no parking sign.
Oh, really?
And abuse of public property is a big no-no in South Korea.
Really?
And so they will not air the video for fear it will encourage more irresponsible citizens to start kicking public street signs.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It is. But he's no gentleman if he's kicking a public parking
well,
sign.
Nothing
I
he's
say.
Doing in the video is
unacceptable. I say, do gentleman. Not, kids, if you take any lesson away from the Kevin and Bean Show, it's be kind to road signs, won't you? Here's a little taste of Psy. I'm a modified gentleman. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm a modified gentleman. He's got a formula, huh?
Mato Fato Gentleman.
Mato Fato Gentleman. He also pulls a chair out from underneath a model. That doesn't hurt anyone.
Yeah. He wafts the scent of his own butt into another model's face.
Right. That's fine.
That's not good.
Just don't kick a sign.
No. Don't kick any signs.
I just am so amazed that this guy came out of nowhere and could make Gangnam Style and then do something so completely different as Gentleman.
He's an artist.
The range on this guy.
He's deep.
Wow.
He's deep.
How do we know he's not saying the same words?
We have no idea.
It's just a remix.
Gotta get a Korean on staff. I've been saying that for years. So tired of them running their secret messages on our radio. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hayden Christensen, probably best known as Anakin Skywalker from the Star Wars sequels, prequels, 32 years old today.
He had that one good movie. What was it called, Lisa? Broken Glass or something like that? The one about that journalist who got in too deep, remember? He was actually very good in that. Or Shattered Glass,
Shattered
I think
Glass,
it was.
Yes.
He was actually very good in that, but other than that, he hasn't had really much of a career since Star Wars, has he, Ron?
Kate Hudson's 34 years old today. James Franco turns 35. Jesse James, he is 44 years old today. He's getting married again, by the way.
Is he?
He's Hope Springs Eternal with Jesse James.
Wow.
If you're Jesse James, don't you say maybe I'm not built for marriage? Maybe
I would think
that's not the
that's
way
what
I
you
roll.
Do. I would think so.
Ashley Judd's 45 years old. Suge Knight is 48. You should have heard the things Kevin was saying about Suge Knight off the air.
Oh,
whoa,
my favorite
man.
Human being
you
ever.
Do not.
I love that guy.
So, I've just, never heard such
he's
reprehensible.
Practically called him a mobster.
Oh,
he's never done a thing wrong in his life.
Suge, oh, I'm sorry, Suge.
Talked about how he ripped off all of the artists on Death Row.
I'm sorry, Suge, for what Kevin Ryder said about
all
you.
All the charity he does. Really impressive.
And actor Tim Curry is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Rob Zombie is back with a brand new album and brand new movie called Lords of Salem. He's going to be joining us 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show. And by the way, speaking of an hour from now, we need to play that new Daft Punk song. Yeah, Get Lucky, it's called. So we got that for you coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show, too. First, though, Jenny McCarthy was doing an interview. I think we talked about it at the time a couple of weeks ago, but now it is brought into sharp focus by something that just happened in the news this week, and that is bad one-night stands. She'd been dating for a guy for 7 years, guys, and broke up. And after a significant amount of time had gone by, she decided, hey, I'm really horny. So she hooked up with some guy. He took her back to his place, and they made sweet, sweet love. Which, by the way, forget what you think about Jenny McCarthy now. That's a pretty good deal.
To Jenny, it was sweet, sweet love.
Oh, we do know about the man.
Well, he got up the next morning, Lisa, and said, hey, there's a McDonald's. I live across the street from the McDonald's. I'll run over and get us some breakfast. And she said, that's fantastic. I'll wait for you.
Uh-huh.
And she waited. And she continued to wait. And an hour went by. And then two. And then three. And then finally at four, she left his apartment because it was clear he wasn't coming back.
Oh, my God.
She looked out the window and the McDonald's was closed. And it was his house.
Oh, that's humiliating.
It was his house. Oh. He abandoned his house.
For all we know, he got on a plane, changed his name, flew to another country, started a new life, and just abandoned all of his possessions just so he didn't have to have post-coital conversation with Jenny McCarthy,
aww,
which I think we could all understand if we've seen her show on VH1. But so that's a bad one-night stand. So that's thing one. And then thing two that was just in the news 2 days ago, I think we have news footage, news audio on this, is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard.
And then we're going to take your calls, bad one-night stands, 1-800-520-1067. They gone wrong. You remember Eddie K. Thomas, I'm sorry, from American Pie?
Finch. From the American Pie movies, absolutely, yeah.
A woman's in custody tonight after barricading herself inside an actor's Hollywood Hills home, prompting a standoff with police. The house on Hargrave Drive is believed to be owned by a star of American Pie.
LAPD SWAT was forced to deploy tear gas into this home. The woman, who police say was armed with a large kitchen knife, surrendered peacefully.
Suspect was a guest overnight and this morning was asked to leave, refused to leave. Became agitated, armed herself with a knife, threatened the owner, and then began to damage the property inside.
Detectives are tight-lipped tonight about the extent of the relationship between the female suspect and the homeowner, who is believed to be American Pie actor Eddie K. Thomas.
He met her that night and took her home.
Took her home, and I'm sure they had a good time up to a point, and then he was done, and maybe she was hoping for more.
Maybe she didn't have a ride.
The next morning he asked her to leave,
and
right?
He said, out, get out.
Okay, all right. It was a great time. I had a great time with you. I got to work, though.
Well, no, he's Eddie K. Thomas. He doesn't have to go to work.
That's
but maybe
true.
He wanted to go to Starbucks or something.
I'm just saying he wants her out of the house.
Right.
Yeah. At which point she grabs a knife. Now that's bad. SWAT shows up. When SWAT shows up and you don't walk out with your hands behind your head, there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
We want to take your phone calls, by the way, of one-night stands gone wrong. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Imagine how surprised he was when it turned violent, when she ended up with a knife and he had to escape from his own house and call 911. I mean, I would love to have been a fly on the wall and heard the conversation before that happened. So that was fun,
right?
And then she's like, yeah, I had a good time. All right, then. He's doing all the closes he can think of. All right, then. Well, great. Well,
great. Should I call you?
Should I call? Yeah. No, I'm fine. I'm just going to sit right here on the couch. Well, you know, I got to go do that thing that I told you about. So let's keep in touch, okay? No, I'm fine. I'm right here. And it just goes on and on and on to the point where he's like, what am I going to do now?
Come on, you need to know the rules of one-night stands.
How humiliating to have to call the police,
too. If it's a one-night stand for him, it's a one-night stand for you as well. So
yeah.
I don't know that you're in a position to be a squatter in his apartment and stay there until SWAT comes.
I think if you're a famous person, you have to be really careful with those.
Don't go to Mel's Diner.
Crazy people.
Don't pick up girls at Mel's Diner.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
Is that the point?
All right. Well, let's take a couple of calls. 1-800-520-1067. I don't know that we've ever had this topic on the air before, but I am fascinated with one-night stands gone bad. Why don't we start with Amanda? Amanda is on line one, and she joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. There are an awful lot of ways that one-night stands can go bad. They don't all involve the Hollywood police coming in and the SWAT team. Amanda, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
This actually just happened Monday night. I met a friend of a friend, and we agreed to get together and meet up at a hotel room, and I guess this guy was really nervous, and we met at the bar, and he was drinking a lot. By the time we got to the hotel room, he went into the bedroom, and he passed out because he was so drunk. I ended up having to leave.
What an idiot!
He was too nervous, so he kept drinking?
Oh, God.
Yeah, he said, just meet me at the bar. I'm having some drinks to, you know, kind of get myself all ready for the big night, and you know we're hitting it off, and he was kind of slurring a little bit, and I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, let's go up to the room. And I was like, sure. And you know, he laid down, and I turned around, and he was out.
How nervous can you be? I mean, it almost sounds like it was a done deal already by the time you get up to the room, right?
That's what I thought.
Well, you were a sure thing. Now, had you guys met before? It wasn't a blind date, right?
No, it wasn't. We met like once or twice before.
Yeah, so he already knew what you looked like, and he was looking forward to it. He just overserved himself. That's hilarious. Did you ever give him another shot, or was that it?
That's pretty much it.
It's
pretty bad.
Did he pay you before he passed out?
Kevin.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Amanda. Appreciate it. Let's go to Brian. Brian is on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking your calls on One Night Stands Gone Awry at 1-800-520-1067. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
What happened?
So I was on a Tinder date about a month ago, you know, that app Tinder. Met this girl up in L.A., had a lot of drink, came back to her place in Venice. I'm down in Newport Beach. I got to be at work at 4:30. I wake up in a puddle in her bed, and I'm like, okay, this is sweet. I just, you know, urinated myself. No, she woke up and said that she did it.
Oh, she wet the bed.
It was terrible.
Was she 11?
She was 19. I'm 29, so a little bit younger, but still.
Now,
but listen, Brian thought he did it at first. So, right.
Yeah,
like,
it sounds like they were both drinking.
Is, yeah, exactly.
My boxes were completely drenched, and I'm like, oh.
Now, Brian, I have to ask: was that a deal breaker for you, or did you go out with her again?
Totally. I haven't talked to her since. It's really bad.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems
bad. I would think if she's super drunk or something like that, it probably doesn't happen all the time. It could just be a one-time deal, right?
Well, the way that she said it was, no, that was me. You know, like, yeah. She'd done it before, so I...
Gotcha. She's dumb, too, because if you're already claiming it, she lets you have it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow, I can't believe you did that.
Why wrestle so you bad. For that? All right, yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's do, wow, these are awesome. Let's do Rob. Rob is on line three here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Rob, thank you for calling Bad One Night Stands. Go.
About 6 months ago, went out on a date with a girl. We ended up going back to her place. We had a little bit of fun. I left her place at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Next day at work, my phone just doesn't stop ringing. I then have 15 voicemails, from the girl.
15 voicemails?
Whoa. Yes.
Were they getting increasingly angry as they went along?
No, she was getting to the point where she was asking me to marry her and begging me to marry
what?
Her.
What?
Did you get any kind of a crazy vibe off of her the night that you spent together?
I did not. I had no idea this was going to come. She seemed perfectly normal. We just enjoyed each other's company, and then, boom, the crazy went
We've
off.
We've got to get married.
How did you leave it with her when you left after the night together? Was it just, was it super casual and cordial? Hey, had a great time. Talk to you later.
Exactly. I had no clue. She's like, yeah, it was great. We should get together again sometime.
And the next thing you know, starting at 7 a.m., your phone starts ringing. Yeah. All right. So then what happens after all the phone calls on day one?
Well, so I don't return any of the phone calls. I'm a little freaked out. I then start getting a barrage of text messages, and over 4 days without me responding to one, I had almost 250 text messages from this girl.
Wow. Dude, you have to put those out in a book.
Desperate much? Desperate much?
What could she say in 250 text messages?
It got to the point where it was, why aren't you responding? Hello, 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 hello.
Yeah, now
hello.
She's getting mad. Now I'm getting worried if I'm you.
Exactly. And then to top it all off, about a month ago, I got a couple more text messages from her asking, hey, how are you doing?
And you didn't respond to that either, right?
I didn't respond to anything.
Good.
Wow. That's amazing. That almost sounds like bunny boiling on the stovetime, dude. So good luck to you. Thank you very much for calling. All right. We got to take a break. Seth, thank you. You hang on, Seth. Aaron, you hang on. Everybody else, please give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. This is one of those phone-in topics that you're listening to and you're going, thank God it's not me, right? For a change, it's not me. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about One Night Stands Gone Wrong here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Seth here in a second, and I'll read this tweet from a listener who got in touch with us at Kevin and Bean. Last thing I remember was her being on top of me, and then I woke up with a note tied to my penis with the phone number to Alcoholics Anonymous on it. How's that for a one-night stand?
He's really passed out if she's putting a note on his penis and he doesn't notice.
Exactly. All right. Seth, welcome to the program, my friend. What's going on?
Thank you, Kevin, Bean. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Seth.
Oh, we'll change your voice there.
You know, I tell you what, on my bucket list, I'm saying that in person.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can make that happen.
Lisa,
like it. Prominently placed on my bucket list.
That'll be your next bad one-night stand story.
Or mine.
All right, Seth, what happened?
Sports fans, stay tuned. I met a girl at the Phoenix airport, said she was from Chicago, gave me her number. She was absolutely hotter than fish grease. She says, if you ever get to Chicago, call me and we'll go out. Well, I found a reason the next month to get to Chicago, as you may assume.
Mm-hmm.
So we're chilling in her 22nd story condo and the 2 o'clock in the morning and someone is pounding on the door outside. All of a sudden she says, oh God, it's my husband.
Oh,
crap.
A very, very famous defensive lineman for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
Wow.
6'6", 320-pound guy full of Jack Daniels. On the other side of the door, pounding, saying, I know you got a man in there, and I'm going to rip him apart.
Did you jump out the window?
There's no back door.
Did you go out the window?
Well, 22nd floor, sports fans.
Worth it. By the way, Lisa, you don't know that there was no back door. You just know that he had no way out of the apartment.
Do you live on the ground floor at all? Could I ask that real quick?
No, you can't. Finish your story.
Anyway, I had to do math, which you're not supposed to have to do math at 2 o'clock in the morning on a first date. I had to decide, you know, what my odds were, survival, out the window, 22nd floor, and landing in that snowbank down there, or letting this guy have his way with me and hope that I survive. So she said, don't worry about it. Security always gets here before he breaks down the door.
Oh, my God. Wow, she's done this before.
Happened many times.
Always was the word that really kind of gave me a little pause.
So what happened?
The security came and got him. Literally, the door was coming off the hinges.
Did you ever see her again?
Are you kidding me? She saw my taillights, and that was it. It was a done deal. But that was literally the closest brush with death I think I've had in.
Wow.
No kidding.
Wow. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I'm surprised a guy using hotter than fish grease could pick up a hot chick at an airport. I'm just amazing to me. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron is on line 6, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Aaron, thank you for calling. What happened to you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Aaron.
Bad one night stands.
I went to a wedding in Tahoe, and the night before the wedding, we all went out drinking, and I met this guy, took him back to my room, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I heard a peeing noise. And he was peeing in the middle of the room, just on one of the blankets.
What?
Yeah.
How far away from the bathroom?
Like right next to the bathroom. There was like a sink in the bathroom, and then like on the outside, but it's on the right, on the outside.
Was he just super, super drunk and didn't know the difference between the blanket and the toilet?
Yeah, and I tried waking him up, and he was just like, no, no, no. And then,
wow.
And then, and then he went back to bed, and I had to take him home in the morning.
Oh, my God. You're the most patient person ever. Seriously. Yeah, I want to have a one-night stand with you, Aaron. Anything goes. Thank you for the call. We very much appreciate it. Let's go to Adina. Adina is on line 3. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding. What happened?
Hi, yes. Good morning. I was studying abroad in Spain, which you already know is bad things happen when you're abroad.
Sure.
And met a nice guy, had a good time. Wake up the next morning to his girlfriend pounding on the door, screaming in different languages. And he told me basically just to wait while he dealt with it. And
so you were at his place, and then his girlfriend was knocking on the door? Okay.
Yeah, in a place I didn't know, of course.
And what does dealt with it mean?
Doing it just like they were fighting and arguing. Obviously, they speak Spanish, but other languages, too, so they're going back and forth, and I have no idea what's going on. He just told me to be quiet and just wait while he talked to her.
Right.
He left. I don't know what he said or did, and then I had to wait until, you know, he got ready so he could drive me back to where he was staying. Very awkward. Never thought of it.
Wow. Definitely awkward. So yeah. What have we learned from all these stories? Thank you, Adina. We appreciate the call. Is it you got to have an exit strategy up front?
Yeah.
Maybe you just leave right after. Maybe there's no pillow talk. Maybe there's no wait until the morning. Maybe you should just get the hell out of there.
Just offer to get McDonald's.
Or can I get you a glass of water or something and then run.
Just go.
And then just don't come back.
Run, right, don't walk. Our friend Rob Zombie joins us in studio in about half an hour or so, talking about his new film and album. Very excited about that. Rob's got the showbiz beat before then. But now I'm very excited. We do this from time to time with various Twitter followers that none of us actually follow.
Of course not.
And I think we've done it with who do we do?
Snooki or Chloe?
Yep. Snooki or Chloe, right? We did it with Diddy or Kanye.
Right.
And Ralph, you've got a new set of celebrity tweeters for us to try to guess, right?
This may be your most difficult challenge ever, team.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're up for it, though. It's Amanda Bynes or Kesha.
Who, oh, my
we're
God,
read
are
the
they
tweets.
Both
we're
crazy.
Read the tweets of Amanda Bynes and of Kesha, and you have to try to determine which one is Bynes and which one is Kesha.
That's tough. That Great. Sounds tough already.
It's time to find out who tweeted that tweet. Kesha or Amanda Bynes. They're both crazy. So who tweeted that tweet? Let's all find out now. They're both ugly dogs. Bow wow.
Wow, we reached Bow Wow's tweets too?
I don't know.
Now I'm really confused.
I don't think so, but more whistling I'd like to request.
All right, so there's no prize. We're just playing for pride here, right? Who's keeping score?
I am.
Kevin will keep
okay.
score.
All right.
It's Kesha or Bynes. This is your challenge. Good luck, everyone. You ready?
All right. Yes.
All right, here we go. New phone case. Tweeted, new do, apostrophe do, as in hairdo. New do, new okay. phone case.
Very exciting.
Well, that is
in this person's life.
I'm going to say Kesha only because Amanda doesn't seem to be caring about any of that sort of thing anymore. Like
what?
Phone, she's so far gone that I don't think phone case is even on her radar at this point.
I'm going Amanda Bynes.
I think she's just fighting demons
what?
In the press at this
I'm
point.
I'm going Kesha because it's not crazy enough to be Amanda.
All right.
That's how can that.
There you go. Kesha.
It was Kesha. Okay, good.
But Amanda Bynes, the whole thing about her in the hair salon and running out with her hairdo.
But
and
a
her
phone case. The phone case is what.
All she does is take pictures of herself all day long. All she
okay.
does.
Well,
it wasn't her. Why were you yelling
we were
at us?
Right.
Because that's bad logic.
Certainly
right
was possible.
Answer, bad. Show your work. I'm taking points off for your work.
Am I the guy who wins the football pool without knowing anything about
yeah,
football? Is that what you're suggesting?
You're all pretty helmets. You're that guy.
Dean has one. Lisa has one. I have none.
Hate you. Okay. Here we go. The thirst for a thing called love. The thirst for a thing called love.
That's Kesha.
I think it's Kesha again. It sounds like you know the type of thing she'd write as lyrics for a song.
Okay, then I'm going Amanda, just because.
AmandaPlease.com.
There you go.
Yes!
Well done, Lisa. Lisa takes the lead with two.
Okay.
Bean has one, I have zero.
OMG, I'm cooking a carrot. OMG, OMG, OMG. OMG, I'm cooking a carrot. OMG, OMG, OMG.
I say Amanda.
Which one is least likely to cook? I say Amanda would be least. I'd say I'm going Kesha.
I agree with Kevin for the same reason. Is I think that Amanda at this point is just eating out of dumpsters. I don't think she's cooking anything. So I'll go Kesha.
How can that?
Yeah, Kesha.
I got a point.
Keeping with the theme, I can't wait to go down on this food.
Oh, dear God.
Ugh.
I can't wait to go down on this food.
Mm.
I think Kesha, again, just because she's just so foul and so gross and
yeah.
so sexual, I'm going to say Kesha on
I'm
that
I'm with
one.
You.
I'm going to say Kesha as well.
Amanda, please!
No!
Amanda, please we don't know time. Anything about anything.
Yeah. When I like you, the only one who can make me not like you is you. When I like you, the only one who can make me not like you is you.
Kesha or Amanda Bynes?
Wow, I got no radar on this one at all. I'll just guess Amanda, and that's just a 50-50.
Then I'm going Kesha.
I'm going Kesha as well.
Amanda, please!
No!
Bean takes the lead.
Bean has three, Lisa has two, I have one.
Okay. I don't care what you think, I care what you say. I don't care what you think, I care what you say.
I'm going to say Amanda because of, as you mentioned, Ralph, earlier, she's fighting with, you know, everybody, press right. and everything. So I'm going to say Amanda on that one.
I have to go with Bean on this one.
I'm going to go with Kesha because I think this is Ralph trying to trick us because he thought we'd pick Amanda Bynes.
Amanda, please!
All right.
4-3-1.
Clothing optional dinner. Clothing optional dinner.
Is clothing optional or optional dinner?
Clothing optional dinner.
I'm going Kesha.
Clothing optional dinner.
Oh, man.
Amanda's been getting naked a lot.
Yeah,
she has. But I don't even think she knows it.
That could be.
Or plans.
Nor does she call it dinner.
What'd you say, Lisa?
I don't think she knows it or plans it, so I went with Kesha.
I'm going to say Kesha as well.
I'm going Kesha as well.
How can that?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Damn it, I have the hiccups.
Come on.
Damn it. I have the hiccups.
How do you pick?
Damn it. Come I have on. The hiccups.
Damn it.
Come on.
I have the
hiccups. Oh, man. Again, it's just a coin flip. I'll say Kesha.
I'm going to say Amanda.
I'm going to say Kesha because I think the hiccups is the least problem Amanda Bynes has.
I'm doing a juice cleanse and I want to die. I'm doing a juice cleanse and I want to die.
Amanda's had all these weight issues.
Yeah, but...
I know I'm the wrong guy to suggest this, but they got to take Twitter away from some people.
Right? Oh, please.
No, you are truly the wrong guy.
You're first.
A juice cleanse. I will say, what the hell? I'll say Amanda.
I'm saying Kesha.
I'm going to say Kesha.
Kesha, indeed.
That hurts me. Where are we at, Kevin?
You're still ahead by one.
He has six. Lisa has five. I have four.
Well, here we go.
You're at four now?
Wow, yes,
you're coming
sir.
On strong here. Wow.
On my way to get my hair blown out. On my way to get my hair blown out.
These girls are getting on my neck. I got to tell you. I just.
Amanda, Amanda.
She did, but did she tweet about that?
Yes, she did.
I mean, she did do that, but I mean.
I'm saying Amanda.
I'm going to say Amanda as well.
I'm going to say Kesha.
AmandaPlease.com.
AmandaPlease.com.
All right.
Bean 7. Lisa and I are tied with 5.
Wow.
How many more you got, Ralph?
I got a bunch. I don't know how long you want to go.
Got time for a couple more.
Long enough for me to win.
Okay. I'm a boss. I'm a boss.
That's got to be Kesha.
That's got to be Kesha.
I'm a boss.
Because Amanda's not winning anything. She's losing everything.
But
yeah.
She
so
doesn't
say,
know she's losing.
Nor is she a boss.
Yeah, I'm with Kevin on Kesha, though. Lisa?
Amanda.
It was indeed Kesha.
Lisa's just falling off the table, man.
Woo! Where are we at now? What's going on?
He has 8. I have 6. Lisa has 5.
Okay.
Pulled into second place.
Okay. Is it a full moon?
Come on!
Ralph?
Is it a full moon?
I would say Amanda's...
Is it a full moon?
Amanda Bynes is probably sleeping on a park bench when she says that.
Yes, she's looking up at the stars. I agree. I'm going to say Amanda as well.
I agree, too. That's how
can that. That would have been a great opportunity to get a point. We suck. All right, I'm afraid we're down to our last one.
Oh, please, because I'm 2 behind.
All right, here it is, the last one. A boa constrictor just renewed my faith in the magic of life. You never know.
Come
a boa
on.
Constrictor just renewed my faith in the magic of life. You never know.
Well, you do never know.
That's true. You do never know.
I don't know why, but I'm going to say Kesha.
I can't.
She seems more like she's playing with snakes and whatever BS she's trying to impress people with. I'm going
what
with Kesha,
the hell?
Too.
I'll say Kesha also.
Indeed, it was Kesha, yes.
Wow.
All right, so Bean had 9, I had 7, Lisa had 6.
Those girls are crazy, Ralph. Well done.
Bean great is our big winner. Congratulations, Bean.
All right, you found out who tweeted that tweet. Kesha or Amanda Bynes, they're both crazy.
By the way, quick reminder, today at 10 o'clock, Kat Corbett's going to be broadcasting live from the K-Rock Coachella House. You definitely want to tune in today and tomorrow with lots of great acts coming by for interviews and performances. You can see the whole thing at krock.com. And we're going to have live performances from the Coachella Festival at krock.com starting at 5 o'clock today on the website, too. So you might want to check that out as well. It's 7:53. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning.
Hi. I'm at Coachella. Here I am. I'm at Coachella.
They're at it again.
Who's they?
Our favorite group of 1 million moms. That's 50,000 strong.
That's nowhere near a million.
One million moms. The conservative Christian group who we know from such greatest hits as Boycott JCPenney because they've got a lesbian spokesperson. Boycott Urban Outfitters because they're too sexual. They basically will... protest, boycott any group that does anything remotely supportive of gay rights or supporting women's right to choose, or you name it. They will.
They can find something wrong with everything.
They will boycott it. They will go very publicly against it. And now Kmart is in their crosshairs. Poor Kmart. What could be more family friendly than the K? You go in there, you get your blue light special, you get yourself one of those ices. You walk around, you maybe get a slice of pizza there in the garden department or whatever the hell it is, and you just enjoy your day there at Kmart. But no, not the 1 million moms.
What are they upset about?
The new commercial Kmart has. They've got a new program in attempt to, I guess, blend their brick-and-mortar stores with their online presence. If you go to a Kmart and they don't have something that you want there in the store, you can go online and they will ship it for free for you. Anything under 150 pounds worth of merchandise will get shipped to your home for free. So it's just like buying in the store. You get it for no shipping cost. But you just have to wait a couple days, but it's a you know.
What could they be upset about?
Well, it's the way they're phrasing it. They did a very clever commercial that's now on the air about how you can ship stuff. And when the gentleman starts off by saying he goes to buy some jeans, and he just shipped his pants. I just shipped my pants.
Oh, man.
It's kind of clever.
Really?
But, pathetic.
But everyone in the store starts talking about what they shipped. Well, let me just give you a little taste of the commercial.
Ship my pants? Right here? Ship my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow, I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
See, that's all they're doing. Lady shipped her nightie. Another woman shipped the drawers for her dresser. Another person shipped his bed. That's all they're doing, just shipping.
A little play on words.
That's all it is, Kevin. It's a harmless play on words.
And it's not unclear either. They're saying the P.
They wrote on their website, the ad is disgusting and ridiculous and should be pulled off the air immediately. They're demanding it of Kmart. They're telling their 40 or 50 members of the 1 million moms to email Kmart. Use social media to pressure the company into pulling its commercial from broadcasts.
And here's where we say, Kmart, you go. Do not buckle.
Kmart has not had a response. They were not immediately available for comment. Let me comment on behalf of Kmart, if they don't mind me stepping up and speaking for them. Go F yourselves.
I don't think they can say it that way, so I'm sure they were happy you do.
Yeah. They got nothing else going on?
That's correct.
And Michael Bay... movies answers to the 1 million moms. He's got a new plan for his Transformers 4. Here's the thing. Transformers 4 is being co-produced with investors from China. In China, reality television is very popular.
Okay.
So they are unveiling, in order to cast the film, they're casting the film this way, the new television show that's going to appear on Chinese TV, Transformers 4 Chinese Actor Talent Search.
Smart.
It's a reality show where four actors at the end will be chosen to star in Transformers 4.
And then we'll see them, like, walking in one scene?
No, they're going to have significant roles in the film.
All right.
Yeah. So it's... I guess you really can't do much damage to a Transformers movie in terms of who you get to act in it.
You just need someone hot, though. You do need a hot chick.
But it's an amateur... It's a BS amateur way to garner attention for the project. In China specifically, because I said there's Chinese investors involved, and also they want to increase, I guess, the box office in Transformers 4. So if you watch the reality show to see who the actors are going to be cast in, maybe you'll go watch the movie because you followed those people through the reality TV process.
China takes over as the biggest box office country in the world in a couple of years from the United States. So you're seeing more and more of playing to the Chinese market. You saw the story about Iron Man 3 has tons of footage in it with Chinese actors that isn't going to be in the international version.
Yeah, they're just shooting in Chinese versions now. Yeah.
I want to see the reality show where Megan Fox and Rosie Huntington-Whiteley and all these supermodels vie for that role.
Yes. How about that?
I want to see that reality
show. In a mud pit of some kind.
Right. I don't know why, but all right.
But at least Transformers 4 Chinese Actor Talent Search has a catchy name, so I can see if it would catch on. It sounds like one of those stores you see in a mini mall. Number one chicken ice cream dry cleaner's house or something. It just makes no sense whatsoever. So Michael Bay once again dipping... even lower than the bar he has already set for how he makes his films. He just doesn't.
How about this Pain and Gain? How does that look to you, Ralph?
This what now?
Pain and Gain, the Michael Bay movie that's getting ready to come out with The Rock.
I can get no read on that whatsoever.
It's got a lot of people in it.
It's got a lot of people in it. I know that.
I know they're lifting weights.
There's no Chinese though.
Looks
I'm
loud.
Disappointed. They don't have the Pain and Gain number one chicken Chinese food ice cream talent search show. So
Yeah. He's just, he's not good. But look, there's Kevins out there who will go see Transformers.
How? Right?
Transformers 4.
Yeah, I'll see it.
That's all that matters.
We loud, cool car robots. Lots of Chinese people.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tim Curry. You know him as Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show, but he's done so much more than that. Super talented guy, 67 years old. Suge Knight is 48 years old.
Oh, does Kevin hate that dude?
Oh, man, he won't shut up.
He's the best. That guy is a stand-up citizen.
All he does is talk about what a criminal he is and a thug.
And the charity work that he does.
Coming down on the Dark Knight.
Spends all his money for charity. He's amazing.
Ashley Judd's 45. Jesse James, motorcyclist.
It's like Mother Teresa.
Extraordinaire and TV personality, 44. James Franco's 35. Kate Hudson celebrates her 34th birthday. Hayden Christensen celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Latest from Rob Zombie there.
That's sorry. The new Daft Punk, though. We're getting our paperwork confused here. Okay. Rob, what do you think of dance music?
I like it. I mean, I did. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, so, you know, you listen to FM radio, it's like, there's the Allman Brothers, and here's ABBA, so you just kind of liked whatever.
Just kind of
I like the Bee Gees as much as I liked Alice Cooper, you know.
All crammed
good
together.
For you.
Hey, we have an
good
intro. We should have started with this.
Hey, this is Rob Zombie. Yeah.
Album is in theaters today called Lords. Excuse me. The movie is in theaters
exactly.
Today called Lords of Salem.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you got too much going on. And the album comes out everywhere on Tuesday called Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor. That old title being recycled again. Rob Zombie.
I'm out of titles.
Back on the Kevin show. Hey, Rob. How you been, buddy?
Good. Good. Busy. Doing stuff. Making up crap.
Well, you got a movie today, and then you got an album Tuesday. That seems like that's either brilliant planning or terrible planning. I can't.
It's a little of both.
A little of both.
Yeah. About a month ago, when I was trying to finish both at the last minute, I was like, "This is the dumbest idea I've ever had." I was like, "I think I'm actually losing it." I never understood when someone said I'm having a breakdown, but I thought I'm having one.
Are you going to kill anyone in here today?
No, I'm good now.
Okay,
now I'm just tired.
Just check it.
I'm harmlessly tired.
Okay, good.
So I've seen some of the interviews you've been doing to promote these projects in recent weeks. And did you kind of move out of Southern California, at least to work for just to kind of get some sanity in your life?
Yeah, it was, you know, being in L.A., it's like so nonstop all the time. So I got a house on the East Coast out in the middle of nowhere, and that's where we recorded the record. I thought, let's move the band to the middle of nowhere and focus for once. Because usually, you know, the process of L.A. recording is you get a studio, everybody shows up late, and then they spend an hour and a half complaining about the traffic on the 405 and this
right.
and that. And then you record nothing, and then everyone goes, hey, where are the menus? I want to order something up. And then everyone eats, and then they're tired from eating and goes home. You're like, well, that was a useless day of nothing.
But then when you tell them they're going to have to move out the middle of nowhere, are they happy?
Yeah, well, it's like I put a recording studio in a barn, and then there was a little house, and they lived in the house, so they literally had nowhere to go except – they didn't even get dressed after the time. They were like in their pajamas recording a record.
How middle of nowhere are we talking about? I mean, are we talking like the 40 acres or something or what?
No, a little bit less than that. But yeah, like out in the sticks, man.
Out in the sticks. Like you could go to a small town nearby if you wanted to.
I could throw a baseball as hard as possible and still not get halfway across my yard.
That's
wow.
nice. Now, you know. Do you feel that this record turned out differently because of that? Sounds like the recording was a little bit more relaxed, but other than that, were any differences?
Yeah, I think I don't know. To me, it felt more inspired that what we were doing because we never got lost focus, and there was never a phone call from management or someone's wife or this or that going on. It was like we were just there about music all day long. And it seemed like the old days of making records where, you know, you have no other life other than making that first album and you focus on it that way, and that's kind of what we did this time. So I don't know, it seems like it worked out.
This is your fifth solo studio album. That's a lot of songs, Rob. Have you ever thought you might run out?
Every single time that I need to write a song, I think that. Every record starts with like nothing and someone goes, I kind of have an idea for a riff that goes like this, like dung, 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 dung. I'm like, oh god, here we go again. How do we turn that into a whole album? But somehow it happens.
That's the fascinating part to us, is sitting down with nothing and then coming up with a product, because we know if we sat down with nothing we would end up with nothing.
It feels like that's what's going to happen, but you sometimes I actually have to go back and listen to old records and go, okay, I did it then. I can do this again.
Give yourself a pep talk.
Yeah, because you feel like this is not going to happen. I can't think of anything else. I literally have no more. Then it somehow just happens.
So do you guys write in the studio? That's where the songs come from?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, back in the day, we would go into a rehearsal space and you'd be recording all these bits and pieces of nonsense on a cassette player and trying to decipher it later. Oh, my God, that was miserable.
You bring any of those back and listen to them and go, that was a pretty good idea. Maybe we should do this?
No.
No, not a bit.
We go in the studio, we write the songs, and we write exactly as many songs as ends up on the record. Everyone's like, where's all the bonus tracks? I'm like, there are no bonus tracks.
There are some bands that go, we write 200 songs, we have to narrow it down to 12.
We write 11 or 12, and as soon as we hit that, when we cross the finish line, we spike the ball, the gear goes away. We don't go, let's keep going, we got 1,000 awesome more ideas.
I applaud your work effort.
Yeah. We do just the bare minimum that gets us by.
You're so dry, Rob, that I sometimes can't get a proper read on you. Do you like it or not? Do you enjoy the process of making records, or is it hell for you?
I used to hate it, truthfully.
You used to hate it?
I used to kind of hate it because it just seemed miserable.
That sounds terrible. Miserable now.
I loved touring, and I loved being in a band, but making records seemed like a chore. But this time, actually, it was really fun, strangely enough. The way we did it, the producer we had, everybody, there was just a relaxed, cool vibe, and we had a good time. And when it was over, it seemed like, wow, we're done.
Was this the best album that you... The best time you had making an album?
It was the best time I ever had making a record. I think it might be the best record, even though, whatever. It'll sell a thousandth of the last record just because that's life. But, when we were down...
We're going to love you for free on Spotify.
Yeah, I just felt like, why don't we... Next time, I'm like, can we just stop even talking about this and just give it away for free from the studio as we record the songs? Just throw the tapes out the window and let people just steal it then?
Yeah. Let me ask you about a couple of songs. Of course, we got a million questions about the movie that opens up today, too, called Lords of Salem. Yes. If you're just joining us, Rob Zombie is in studio here on the Kevin Reed Show. But let me ask you a couple things about the record. I think we have a couple of clips we want to play, too. First of all, when you came up with the song title, Ging Gang Gong De Do Gong De La Laga Raga, why didn't somebody say, that's not finished. Let's go back to that and come up with a title.
Because there is no somebody in my life who has that power. I'm that somebody.
Does there need to be?
Because when someone comes to me and says, let's go back and finish that title, I'll go, well, that's been nice knowing you. You have a funny way of handing in your notice, but it's been good working with you.
So Ging Gang Gong, that's exactly what you wanted for that song?
I was sitting there having lunch. We were taking a break from recording. I go, oh, that's – yeah, I got it. And I went back in and sang it, and I'm sure there was a weird dead silence from the producer, and I was like, okay, I'm good. Let's move on.
There is something to be in the boss, isn't there, Rob? There's a lot to be said for that.
Well, it's funny when you do that because I knew as soon as I did that title, it would be the thing I'm always talking about.
Sure.
And I am. So it's like, if it was called like Rock and Roll Crazy Party, you'd be like, who cares? But you make up that title, let's talk about it.
Sure.
I want it to be a single just so every DJ has to announce it.
The first single, I believe, is Dead City Radio and the New Gods of Supertown, which, by the way, also sounds like it could be a movie. That sounds like a movie title to me.
Yeah.
I think we have a clip of that. Let's hear some of that from Rob Zombie's new record, In Stores Tuesday. That sounds like it will be fun to play on tour.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a...
Do you think about that when you're writing them? This will be great on tour? This will be great
to
play live?
What I think is, boy, this will be hard to play live on
tour. Oh,
really? Well, because you're in the studio, and you have your microphone, you have some water, you're not doing anything. So you sing 9,000 words in a row, and then you get on stage, you go like, God damn.
What was I thinking?
I forgot to put those breaks where you breathe oxygen in there.
Why don't I write easier songs? And another number that a lot of people, it's going to prick up their ears is because you've done interesting covers in the past. And you got another one on this record.
Yeah, this is the first cover I think White Zombie recorded. No, I did a...
You did I'm Your Boogeyman.
I did I'm Your Boogeyman with White Zombie a long time ago. Then I did sort of a ridiculous version of Brick House with Lionel Richie.
Oh, that's right.
Which everyone thinks is a joke. We actually played on the Tonight Show together on April Fool's Day just by accident. And I think everybody thought that was a joke. And then we came out and did it. And they're like, what the what? That was strange. Yeah, this is the first real cover I've recorded that I thought, oh, we'll play this live, and it's for real. It's not some.
Now, is this before we hear it, and we haven't said the name yet, but is this the song that was significant to you when you were a little kid? Is this one you remember hearing and going, oh my God, I want to be that guy?
Totally. I was way into this band and thought they were badass. And now the funny thing is they were writing the lyrics about their experience then, and it's exactly my life now. I only literally changed one word in the song to make it appropriate to me.
Awesome.
I just love the idea of the singing all serious. We're coming to your town to help you party it down.
That's true.
Exactly.
I cannot wait to do that every night.
We're talking to Rob Zombie here on the Kevin Bean Show, and we've been hearing and talking about Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor, which comes out on Tuesday. The film is called Lords of Salem. We've got many questions about that with Rob when we return right after this on K-Rock.
We have Rob Zombie in the studio.
Filmmaker Rob Zombie back with another movie called The Lords of Salem. You were talking a few minutes ago, Rob, about how it's great to be in the boss in the recording studio when you're making a record, but you had the rare opportunity that most filmmakers don't get, which is to kind of be the lone voice on how you want your movie to go, too, right? You pretty much got autonomy to make this thing the way you wanted it.
Yeah, for this one. I mean, that's the goal with every movie, obviously, but you don't contractually have that written into your contract, the final cut or final say at everything. I mean, you can usually fight for it, but sometimes you fight so much for it that you forget why you wanted it in the first place.
Right.
But with this one, it was just nice to go, okay, we're doing this, and no one even bothers to – well, some people would say, I don't like that. But it was funny last night because we had the premiere last night. And one of the producers who hated the ending came up to me and was like, I was wrong. That ending's brilliant. Thank God you didn't listen to me.
He just now realized that last night? Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You've been talking about how you expect – I guess – did this movie show at – was it at South by Southwest or –
Yeah.
Film festivals?
Yeah, we did it. We went to Toronto Film Festival originally, then South by Southwest, like whatever.
And you've been expecting the response to be polarizing. You fully expect that there are going to be a certain number of people that hate your movie, but that doesn't bother you at all. How come?
Because everything – I mean, you know, how – I'm just used to everything being polarizing, so I'm kind of used to it. I feel like I'm polarizing to myself. I just know my personal tastes are polarizing. You know, I usually don't like the things that everybody else likes, so – I feel that it would be impossible for me to be a guy like, I make stuff everyone likes. I don't know what the F everybody likes. I can't figure it. I just make crazy stuff that I like and, you know, assume there's enough other crazy people
Hope
that like it,
other
too.
People like it too.
And there seems to be, you know. Yeah.
It does seem like because it's art but it's also business, it does seem like on television or on records that are made for the radio or on movies that are released in, you know, wide release, that the goal of the artist these days seems to be bring everybody, as many people as possible into it. Let's shave off all the rough edges so that it's as palatable to the masses as popular as possible. And that doesn't always make for very good art, does it?
Well, no, because you get stuff that's, you know, you just change the way people think about stuff. I don't, you know, if you think about the way movies were, some people would go see Godfather and some people would go see, you know, Herbie Rides Again. You know, like you didn't expect both crowds to like, but now it seems like every movie – they want little kids. They want grandma. That's why they want a PG-13 where it's slightly edgy but not too edgy because we don't want to offend that guy. And you just feel like everything became that – I hate that catchphrase. Oh, it's a popcorn movie. Like, oh, the movie sucked but I had popcorn. Like, well, what about the movie being really good and you're still thinking about it? You know, because most of the time you see a movie and you stop thinking about it before you even get out of the theater. You're like, meh, let's go to Pinkberry and get something to eat.
Right.
You know, and back in the day you'd – whatever, pick out a movie like Taxi Driver and you'd walk out like devastated thinking about it for the next week. And there are movies like that. It's just they seem like they become rarer and rarer. And that's why I think people are so hooked on television, because you watch something like Breaking Bad and it's more edgy and interesting than 90% of the movies that are out.
You know? And it's the type of show that probably would have been turned down by 25 channels before AMC finally said yes, right?
Right, and it sounds like a movie. I got this idea. He's a high school teacher with cancer, and he starts making crystal meth and becomes a gangster. You're like, really? That's primetime television, right? Okay, now, I have this other idea. There's a guy, he pretends he's gay, moves in with two girls at the beach. That's usually what they, you know.
That sounds like a million-dollar idea, Rob. Yeah. You got to run
and
with
he's
that.
He's got a crabby landlord.
tell folks about Lords of Salem. I mean, they see the word Salem in the title, and they assume that it has something to do with witchcraft or witch trials. Trials? Anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Salem Witch Trials are part of the backdrop of the movie. It's not about the Salem Witch Trials, but they figure into it, you know, because the basic idea was the Salem Witch Trials were, without getting boring, you know, 20 to 25 innocent people were put to death for being witches. And then this movie sort of concerns like another six that were secretly put to death who nobody knows about who actually were and witches. And this has to do with all the bad stuff that happens when you kill real witches. But, it's not a period movie. It takes place in you know, modern day.
Here's what I know. If I find out that there's no Tenet in room number 5, I'm not going down there.
Yeah. I'm pissed.
I don't care what's going on down there. I'm not going down
Stop
there.
Stop messing around in room number 5. Right. Rule of thumb.
What did you put your poor wife through, the star of the movie, and how did that play out at home after you'd finished shooting?
Well, she was very tired, and I wasn't sure why. Now, it's really funny because you get so into what you're doing because you're working around the clock day after day that you can't step back and go, oh, boy. But it wasn't until really South by Southwest, which is like, you know, so much after the fact that I watched the movie and go, wow, yeah, really dragged her through the ringer. I feel bad now. But
didn't appreciate it at the time. Yeah. But
Because you feel like everybody's getting dragged through the ringer. You're just working. Because, you know, this was a very short shoot. We shot the whole movie in like 4.5 weeks, so it was very intense. So it was a short ringer, but it was a ringer.
Seems like making a movie would be 100 times harder than an album.
Oh, it is, because like making an album's like you and the band and like one other person, and if you don't really accomplish anything that day, no big deal. But the movie is like, you know, there's a couple hundred people, the clock is ticking, and every second that you don't do something, it's just like money is flying out the window.
Right.
And every morning, here's the schedule. We have to get all these scenes, and if we don't, we can't come back because this actor's moving on to this place.
Are you the taskmaster from hell?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you just have to do it. I mean, everybody knows that. There's nobody working on a movie who doesn't know that. And if they are, and if they think that they – there just isn't. I mean, everybody's a professional. They know this is what has to happen today. Sometimes they look at the pages and they go, oh, my God, how are we going to make this happen, which is what we're all thinking. But, you know, you get it done.
Let's play a clip from the film that we're talking about here called The Lords of Salem. Rob Zombie is the director and writer of this movie, and it comes out in theaters today. Let's hear some of this.
On a rare occasion, a special child appears.
The curse of the Lords of Salem, possessing the souls of the Salem women, which the devil's child would inherit the earth.
Satan, come to us!
God does not spare angels when they sin.
All right. Fun for the whole family.
Hey, wow. I'm in. Pack up more the kids.
More with Rob right after this on the Kevin Beach Show.
It's my favorite part of the show when they have the crazies on.
I know. I feel so guilty for laughing, but it is so funny.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I believe that's a reference to Rob Zombie, if I'm not mistaken.
So. Mm-hmm. I think so.
The crazies.
Rob is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his new album coming out on Tuesday and the new movie in theaters today called The Lords of Salem. Hey, did you get a pretty decent budget on this one, Rob?
No, it was nothing.
It was chicken feet again and you just had to make do.
Actually, no, this was the lowest budget movie I ever made. That was part of the deal. Like, the trade-off was here's a low budget, but you have total control. You can do whatever you want. So I was like, yeah, that's cool.
But don't go over $1,000.
Yeah. Do not spend that. Yeah.
How do you feel you are as a director now that you got a few under your belt? Are you starting to get the hang of it?
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, every time you do it, you feel like, you know, you learn so much because you just – like an actor could work like 5 or 6, 10 different, 20 movies a year. But like a director, you do a movie and that takes like – so long that it's like every the quickest you can get to is like every 2 years, it seems like. So that's why I've been doing a lot of gigs, like doing like directing TV commercials and stuff, just so you can do
what
more
kind
stuff.
Of TV commercials?
Well, the one that most people know is that I did this Woolite commercial.
That's just a,
yeah,
I would never that doesn't have compute that.
Yeah, no, it was really it was on a lot. It's on a lot still. It's been on for like 2 years. Yeah Woolite.
What happens in it?
If you saw it, you go, oh, yeah. Okay.
The devil comes out and uses Woolite because his clothes are not soft enough.
I am not kidding. This was not my idea. Obviously, I didn't conceptualize it. Some ad agency did. There's this guy, this masked sort of serial killer looking guy,
dragging what looks like a dead body through the woods to his creepy house.
Right.
And he opens this body bag, and it's filled with laundry, and he starts torturing laundry on these racks and torture devices, and it says, like, don't let detergent torture your clothes, you woolite. And then it cuts to, like, you know, pretty girls shopping and putting on their sweaters, who obviously
they
paid attention to the commercial.
They brought in another director for that part?
No, that stuff is the easy stuff. They're like, oh, can he handle this? I'm like, can I handle shooting in nice locations with people who are supposed to look good? That's so easy. It's right. Like being out in the middle of a rainy field in the middle of the night. That's the hard part.
Speaking of nice looking people, I have to ask you this, because my current, and I know, of course, I know why they do it, but what's really bugging me lately is all of these shows, like Bates Motel is a perfect example of one. I don't know if you've seen that one yet on the A&E network, but it's really good. But everybody on it looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch model. Like it's an entire high school full of the most beautiful people you've ever seen in your life. And that seems to be what they're doing now with all movies and TV shows. Like, what about you and me and ugly people? Where are we supposed to go, you know?
We're supposed to just feel bad about ourselves. No, it's funny because if you go back and look at your yearbook, you go, man, there was not one good-looking kid in my high school. The kid that you thought was good-looking, like, he was weird-looking too.
Right.
You know, there was like maybe one decent girl in every high school, you know?
Yep. Let me ask you about a couple of other movies,
they all
Rob.
To California.
But by now, she's a crack whore. So.
Right.
Tony in Ventura writes, could you please ask Mr. Zombie if he has another project in the works like his animated film, The Haunted World of El Super Bisto? Maybe a sequel. That movie was awesome, he wants to know.
No, I would love to. We were trying to pitch El Super Bisto as a television show because we thought it would be perfect for, you know, Adult Swim or Cartoon Network, but we never got that far with it. But we might revisit it. That was a fun one to do. Because I just did Tom Papa, the stand-up comedian, did the voice for El Super Bisto, and I just shot a new stand-up special for him that's going to be on later in the year.
Oh, nice. And the other movie I want to ask you about.
You have a really weird life.
I do have a weird life.
You're doing a whole light commercial and shooting a comedy special?
Yeah.
The other film I want to ask, which is going to segue nicely into the hockey topic, is I know you don't want to think about this next movie that you're going to be doing in a couple of years, but you're already working on it. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, the next movie is called The Broad Street Bullies, and it's a true life story of the Philadelphia Flyers in 1974 when they won the Stanley Cup. And yeah, I mean, the script is done, and we're already – the biggest problem I have now is I already have tour dates. If not, I would probably already be standing on set shooting this thing. So luckily, I have tour dates to keep me away from it for a minute. But yeah, that's going to go into production super fast.
Did you write that?
Yeah. I spent about a year on it because I just had to research the whole thing, and I went to Philadelphia and met with the guys.
What was exceptional about the 74 squad?
Well, you know, what in a nutshell, you know, when the league expanded, I think it was in 67, you know, there was the original six that everybody knows, Bruins, Rangers, whatever, mm-hmm. but then they expanded. That's when the Kings came into being and the California Seals, which are gone now, and the Philadelphia Flyers. And Philadelphia was like, you know, this working class sort of considered loser town, and the Flyers were not great. And one day they were playing the Blues, and the Blues just were brutalizing them, like, to death. I mean, like, just knocking guys out and kicking the crap out of them. And the owner of the team said, that's it. Never again. You must build the toughest team that ever play hockey. And they literally went out of their way and built what became the Broad Street Bullies or the Terror Squad or the Goon Squad. And
it's just a team of thugs.
They
terrorized the hell out
of everybody. And they were led by Bobby Clark, who was the most hated hockey player of all time and still really is. And he was just a nasty, dirty player. And he had these thugs that would just protect him. And, you know, they brutalized their way to the Stanley Cup twice. And almost did it three times. And these guys in Philadelphia, it's like, I went to the game. They won 40 years ago. Almost the entire team is still at every game.
Is that
and they
right?
are worshipped. I mean, think of another sport where 40 years later, the guy's walking. No one can remember sports guys 40 years later.
No one's alive for the most part.
And they're like the Bernie Perron, who is arguably like the greatest goalie of all time. They're all still there. It's like it just happened last night.
Wow.
And like I say, it's like the Dirty Dozen meets Boogie Nights on ice. It's a freaking insane story. It's not just that they won. It's just the way they did it. You know, they were just
now,
out of control.
Is it tough to get a hockey movie sold? I know a lot of people are nervous about the popularity of hockey in America. Was that a stumbling block at all?
Well, it was really weird because when someone brought me the story. Somebody who was a fan of the films and saw past the subject matter. I was like, your sensibility could handle this. And when we would talk to a few people, they're like, oh, you know, getting that thing financed is going to be impossible and blah, blah, blah. And as soon as word got out, it was like we couldn't fend the people off who wanted to get involved.
Oh,
it was like,
that's really?
They just came out of the woodwork.
Wow.
And I don't know if it just coincided with the Kings winning the Stanley Cup, but at that moment in time, it seemed like Hollywood had hockey fever. But it's always that thing where someone goes like, hey, kid,
nobody wants to see an effing pirate movie. Trust
right.
me.
Right. Right.
And then the next thing is Pirates of the Caribbean. It's sure. Nobody exactly. cares about $1 billion. You know, like, it's just what we said. Nobody knows anything. So, you know, dinosaurs don't sell and Jurassic Park comes up. So it was sort of that sort of situation.
Now, when you used to live back here full time, you were at almost every Kings home game. How tough has it been to keep up with them with the time difference on the East Coast?
It's impossible. It's just impossible to freaking find hockey on television. I'm like, what channel is it on now?
You're living
now?
In the wrong place.
It's like, that's you pick that first, and then you decide where you're
going. Yeah, Kevin's not moving anywhere where he can't get the Kings. Well, that's they have the NHL package on DirecTV, but the problem is that the games start at 10 o'clock at night for you.
Yeah,
right?
I'm falling asleep, and they're like, you know, doing the national anthem. But it's so funny. It's like a loyal fan. You go there every single game for year after year after year and watch them battle for last place.
Right.
You move and like – hoisting the cup. I'm like, what the F, man?
So you didn't get to go to any of the home playoff games?
No,
last
but
year?
I did go to an away. I went to an away,
New Jersey.
Away playoff game, yeah. And
did you wear a Kings jersey?
I wore no, just sat there, keeping a low profile.
Smart. Are the Kings still your team, or do you find yourself now following the Bruins just because they're closer?
I like just follow everything. You know, I feel like when you don't go to the games, you feel sort of disconnected. Follow Kings, follow Bruins, follow Flyers, just kind of. I find kind
that's
of just whatever game's on, I put it on.
That's unacceptable. I'll watch it, but it's unacceptable.
Well, Rob, you've always got a lot going on. You're always a fascinating guy. You're always generous with your time. And we're excited about all of this. So Lords of Salem in theaters today. Please go see that, everybody.
Yes.
And then the new album, which I guarantee people will like if they like Rob Zombie. It's terrific, called Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor.
And
obviously, that's the title.
That tomorrow's Record Store Day, and we did make a special limited edition 10-inch single that plays backwards of Dead City Radio.
Oh, finally. That's what my collection has been missing.
So you put the record on, it spins the
you
correct
put
way.
It from the, you start the from the middle out.
Oh, the middle out.
Yeah, it plays backwards on your turntable, but the song sounds normal.
I like it.
Now, why is that necessary, Rob?
Just to confuse people and infuriate them and go, I hate vinyl. And they throw it against the wall. I told you it never works.
Too many people celebrating Record Store Day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We wanted to ruin enthusiasm.
I wanted to ruin Record Store Day for everybody.
Well, Rob, we've been having you on the Kevin and Bean Show for a long time, and you're always welcome, my friend. We love you.
Man.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Medic? Hello, medic?
There's something rewarding about watching Ralph roll around in pain.
Screw you. Do we have a first aid kit or anything? Can we help the guy?
He's that'll help.
Pretty bad.
I just shattered a kneecap. Give me a Band-Aid.
He needs morphine.
Some ibuprofen. I'm not on my period. I broke a kneecap.
What did you run into, Ralph?
There's a thing underneath the console here where you plug into the headset into, and it's for some reason it's been sharpened to a razor's edge on the end. I just slammed my kneecap into it.
Do you think somehow our Chechnyan Bordop beer mug is responsible for
yes,
that?
Yes, I do.
I think so, too. All right, listen, Ralph's here for the Showbiz Beat, but we also want to open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067 because this is your very last chance to win tickets for the 3 days left for Coachella 2013. That's this weekend. It's today, Saturday and Sunday. You go to the festival and you have access to the K-Rock Coachella House where we're going to be all weekend long with live performances and interviews. You get all of that at 1-800-520-1067. You're going to have to earn them. We are going to be playing a game, but it'll be coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning here on the world famous K-Rock. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Glad you saved the best for last, by the way.
I saw your
special guest out in the hallway there, yeah.
Yep.
He seems very agitated.
Is that right?
Yes. Flapping around, going crazy over there. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk about show business news. Great story out of Berlin, Ohio. Two neighbors battling each other. Scott, one of the next door neighbors, called police to report that he had just gotten bitten above his eye by his neighbor Roger.
Bitten above his eye?
Yeah. Apparently, Roger had asked Scott to testify on his behalf in an upcoming trial. Hall said no. That's when Oates took a big chunk of skin out of his eyebrow. That's right. The neighbors' names are Hall and Oates.
Come on.
Oh, wow.
Police were called to the scene. Hall and Oates are fighting.
Come on.
Say it as it's so.
Put in the file.
Rob, we're talking about Hall and Oates.
Cops showed up expecting...
Damn you.
Expecting to see Hall and Oates. Instead, they got these two neighbors who were biting each other over whether they were going to testify or not. Took a chunk out of his skin, out of his left eyebrow.
Jeez.
He's a man-eater.
Come on.
The guy that got eaten say, I can't go for that?
Kevin is playing, everybody. Hey, does Hall have a wife or is she gone?
Really?
A bit of a stretch, I gotta be honest.
Really?
Who did they have come in to do the research on the case? Private Eyes?
I can't write fast.
You don't need to. This is a file. This is a file for all of us.
Journalists, as you can imagine, were staked out outside the police station. Hall's wife was coming out, his wife Sarah, and the photographer said, Sarah, smile.
Does Sarah have any money? Do you know?
She's a rich girl.
Oh, she is. Okay, good.
Come on, there's no alley-oops in this game.
Psy, you know Psy.
Sure.
He brought us Gangnam Style. He made us all dance like we're riding horses.
Yes, he did.
Well, he's got a brand new video. We were talking about it earlier this week. A smash hit on YouTube. I don't know, 200 million downloads or something by now. Called Gentleman. But it will not be shown on television in his home country of South Korea. Now, initially, Hollywood Reporter thought the ban was because it was too sexy or salacious. But no, it's because Psy kicks a no parking sign in the video. And the government-run television of South Korea says abuse of public property is a definite no-no. It will not air the video because you do not want to encourage that sort of destructive
That's
behavior.
Unbelievable.
It is. Have they seen no other videos in the world? I mean, that is nothing.
He kicked a sign?
Do they have no other problems in South Korea other than people kicking their signs? There's missiles trained at you. Don't worry about the signs.
Those signs will be gone soon.
They'll all be melted down. They'll be fine. Stop that. For those of you who are not familiar with Gentleman, it's a ballad. It's a real departure for Psy. Shows his more sensitive side, his romantic side. Here's a little taste.
It's the same as Gangnam Style.
No, it's not. It's a heartfelt ballad about true love and the cost sometimes of loving and losing. Here's a little taste of Gentleman.
I'm a modified gentleman.
Yeah, you're right. That's very different. Very different. Makes me tear up a little bit. I just wish that song had been around when my wife and I were doing our first dance at our wedding. That would have been it. Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
He's going to make a new movie.
There's a name we haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah. It's been a while since Keanu starred in something. He just signed up to do a new science fiction film. Listen, I am no fan of Keanu Reeves. I think he's a sweetheart of a guy.
Nicest guy in the world.
Not one of our stronger...
No.
Cinematic actors.
You could put him in a movie that can exist without him.
Sure.
And he's fine.
Yeah. Will he be able to carry a film like this on his own, where he is basically the only person in the movie?
Oh, no. No.
The film is called Passengers. Interesting premise about a spaceship which is transporting thousands of humans to a new planet in order to save the race. They've left Earth. Unfortunately, a malfunction in one of the sleep chambers. They put you in the sci-fi often. You'll see they put you in sort of a cryogenic state or suspended animation, I guess they call it. One of them malfunctioned, so Keanu's character wakes up 90 years before anyone else does. There's 90 years to go before the ship reaches its final destination.
Wow. Okay.
So he's alone on this ship, and he realizes, because he's awake now, he is going to live and die on this ship. He will never see the planet, and he will never be with any of these people that are alongside of him, these thousands of other human beings that he's traveling with. It's called Passengers. You know what he does because he's faced with the prospect of growing old and dying alone?
What?
Wakes up a chick.
Oh, smart.
Good call.
It does.
Good
I like call. It. He turns off the sleep unit of one of these chicks and he says, all right, you and me, babe.
Curses her to the same fate.
Exactly. But Adam listen, and Eve. Look at the odds. He's literally the only man in the world her.
That's true.
I would just pick the hottest chick, too. I would just go through it'd be like a supermarket. I just look at all the windows of all the girls. All right, who's got the big cans? Who's, she's kind of nice. She's cute.
I know that I'm going to take some heat for this, but why wake him up?
Oh. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Good Lord. Wow.
What? Are we still
I'm
in here?
I'm getting creepy. What very, happened? Very creepy.
I wish we weren't.
I wish we weren't, too.
No way.
Whoa. Do we have time for you talking to Keanu? Can we slip that in since we're talking,
Bean talking
to Keanu?
Bean
talking to Keanu. You got it at your fingertips there, Bean?
I do. It's an oldie but a goodie.
It
I mean, this
sure
has
is.
To this has to go back a lot of years.
Bravest moment I've ever heard on the Kevin and Bean Show. The sack that you had to say this to this man is something I could never muster.
And by the way, in retrospect, I do feel terrible about it because in the years since, we've learned that he is literally the nicest man in Hollywood.
Yeah,
right.
But he had ruined a lot of movies just before this.
And Kevin Bean is just so brave and brutal in this sequence.
Right. We're lucky to have you as sort of our pit bull.
This is the occasional plus of Asperger's.
Yes, exactly. Not having any emotions whatsoever helps you not feel guilt.
Please enjoy.
Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this is this some way to wash
Have you
bad...
seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I got to be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
Yo, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
That is just a level of cruelty I could not manufacture.
Same here. I apologize. I feel terrible.
Could not come up with that. In Bean's defense, look at a man's face and say that to him, I could never do it.
In Bean's defense, I don't think he was in the same room, first of all.
Oh. He was on the phone.
In Bean's defense.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, it was ISDN. It was an interview studio to studio.
I was challenging him because we had had so many conversations, especially Dracula. He ruined Dracula.
He's not good in Dracula.
Single-handedly. And I was challenging Bean. I was like, you got to say something, man. You got to. You got to do it. You stand up,
so
man.
You're the guy behind the guy saying, throw the rock through the window. Go ahead. I bet you can't break that window. Go ahead. Do it. And then you're hauling ass out of the park.
Then he did it. I was like, holy crap. That guy's a dick.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Hayden Christensen's 32 years old. Kate Hudson turns 34. James Franco is 35. Jesse James, motorcycle builder extraordinaire and TV personality, is 44. Ashley Judd celebrates her 45th birthday today. Suge Knight turns 48. Actor Tim Curry is 67. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Stand by, Clucky. You're listening. All right, Clucky, hang on. I got to do some business here. We're talking to Clucky here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're about to give away tickets to all 3 days of weekend number 2 of Coachella 2013, plus access to the K-Rock Coachella house. A lot of great artists stopping by, including Franz Ferdinand and Portugal the Man and Tegan and Sarah. Mike Ness from Social D will be stopping by. There's a full schedule at krock.com. Of course, you can watch those interviews all weekend long. Kat Corbett will be live at the Coachella house at 10 a.m.
I would go today if I were you. After last weekend, there was a lot of hassling going on. Police called.
You're talking about the Coachella house. Is that what you mean?
There were bomb strikes called in.
Yeah, it's got rough. Well, we want to give away tickets to all of that right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Garman is in studio with his friend Clucky. Hi, Clucky. How are you? Clucky is going to help us give away the tickets by, I guess you're going to be clucking Red Hot Chili Pepper songs. Is that the game we're playing?
You know, Clucky here, of course, is the show mascot. And we've had
the K-Rock Chicken.
The K-Rock Chicken. We've had him trained, so we've taught him how to sing songs from some of our favorite artists. So
in parentheses, we've done too many Coachella giveaways.
So we spend about a week teaching him the greatest hits of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then he will sing them. For Korn. We just give him Korn. And
Korn?
Sings. Yeah.
Wow. Korn's not even playing Coachella. No. Now I'm very confused. All right. So Clucky is going to do a Red Hot Chili Pepper song, and all you have to do is identify that song by title, then you go into the drawing to win the prize. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's Clucking the Hits.
Howdy, partners. It's time to play Clucking the Hits. And now here's Kevin and Bean's pet chicken, Clucky, the only chicken who can sing. You identify the song Clucky's singing, and you could win them their tickets. Take it away, Clucky.
All right, Clucky, let's meet Jennifer. She is on line one. She is going to be the first contestant you're going to be singing to. Hi, Jennifer. I apologize in advance that you're a part of this bit.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Jennifer.
Clucky is going to do a Red Hot Chili Pepper song. You just have to identify it.
Right on.
Are you ready?
Always.
Go ahead, Clucky.
I believe I heard Californication, Clucky. Yeah, well done.
Californication. You were congratulating Clucky? I think Jennifer did a pretty good job.
I mean, Clucky is a goddamn chicken who's doing a Red Hot Chili Pepper song. That's impressive. All right, Jennifer, you are in the drawing. You hold on. Don't go away. Let's try Jessica next on line two as we cluck the hits. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Well, so far so good.
Well, this is what our career has come to. If you really want to know how it's going, not so well.
All right, you ready for Clucky?
Let's go.
Good luck.
All around the world?
Oh, that's not a terrible guess, but it's give it away.
Give it away.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sorry.
Come on, Ralph. You can't be mad that you didn't understand.
I feel bad for Clucky. He's worked his little feathered ass off.
All right. Jose, was that Cluck you? Is that what you just said, Clucky?
I don't know. I don't speak chicken.
Something like that. Jose is up next. He's on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jose, how have you been doing listening to the game on hold?
I've gone both of them so far.
All right. Okay, congratulations. All right, good luck to you, sir. Go ahead, Clucky.
Bark, 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 bark. Bark, 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 bark. Bark, 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 bark. Bark, 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 bark.
Hmm, tough one. What say you, Jose?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say Parallel Universe.
Sorry, that was...
Tell me, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing, though. We appreciate the call. Clucky, how you holding up? You okay? You need some water or anything? You good?
A little tired.
All right.
We haven't worked Clucky this hard in a long time.
Arianna is on line four. Well, Clucky, most of the time, is just hanging out behind the radio station, just enjoying life. All right, Arianna, we apologize that you're part of this, but you ready for your Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
Yes.
Good luck. All right.
Go ahead, Clucky. Clucky, go ahead.
Scar tissue.
Take me to the place I love. Come on, people. Under the bridge. Under the bridge is what we wanted. All right, we have already just Jennifer. Let's try one more contestant, see if we can get her some competition in the grand prize drawing. It's going to be Elliot. He's on line five, and he's up next with Clucky.
Elliot.
Very funny.
Thank you.
It's Kevin's very timely E.T. impression.
Oh, I'd like to take that. All right, but it's in the middle of a Clucky bit. What do you want from me? All right, you're... You ready for your song? Shut up.
Yeah, put him in the file indeed, Elliot.
Shut
exactly.
up, Elliot. All right, here's your song. Good luck.
The chain that stops would be part...
Not Elliot sings the hits.
Which apparently it is.
It's all for you. All for you.
I believe we were looking for Can't Stop this time.
All right, let's do a drawing.
All right.
It's either going to be Jennifer on line one or line one's Jennifer. Lisa, who wins the 3-day passes to Coachella?
Oh, my God. Big surprise. It's line one Jennifer.
Jennifer!
The only... Tell her what she's won, Clucky.
That was Clucking the Hits. We had a cluck of a good time. If you didn't, then cluck off.
By the way, before Ralph does his final showbiz beat and we get out of here for the week, I want to thank everybody who has signed up to walk with me and Lisa.
Thank
a
you.
Week from tomorrow, we're going to be at that Donate Life Run Walk event in Fullerton starting around 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Two ways you can participate as we help raise awareness and money for organ donation. One is you can walk with us. Be on Team Bean. Go to krock.com or kevinbean.com and sign up for that. We'd love to have you out there. It's going to be a great time. And two is you can just make a donation if you want to do that. And I very, very much appreciate that. We've got you guys know how the KROQ listeners are.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Tremendous response from people. Yes. I really think it's going to be a super fun event.
They're very
so
generous.
Again, you can get all the details if you want to come out and see Lisa get sweaty. You can do that. Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com, and I thank you for your support.
Lisa's going to walk slash run. Bean's going to be on the Segway.
Yeah. He doesn't like exercise much. That's probably true. He doesn't walk.
I was actually going to drive alongside the people who were walking the 5K. That's cool,
Speed
right?
Speed it up!
All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
I take umbrage, by the way, with the Bean's quote. It's going to be a great time.
It is going to be a great time.
I'm just going to walk next to Bean. And we're going to walk for a while. That's going to be a great time. That's what you're telling me.
I have been told.
Odds are you'll be talking while you're walking, right?
How dare you?
Yeah.
I have been told by people who have been to this event, and by the way, over 10,000 people participate in this event every year.
No.
I have been told that it is incredibly inspirational because there are a lot of people there who have been affected by organ donation, and apparently it's just a feel-good event.
Believe me, I'm not casting any aspersions at all on the event itself.
But you would learn after the first 30 seconds you don't want to walk next to
but
Bean.
But I'm walking next to Bean. That's what I'm saying.
And pull the ripcord on that one and go hang out with someone else.
How much fun can that be?
Walk with Lisa.
When I'm in the first mile mark and I'm hearing, I still hold out hope for Pluto's reinstatement.
Come find me and we'll ditch
Find, there you find go. Lisa. That'll be a great time.
That's the key.
So if you're watching from the air, you'd see lots and lots of people and then no one and then me in the middle of that and then lots and lots of people about a half a mile away.
See a tiny little bee just hurrying up to a group of people and you see them talking. Then you see them and they start to run ahead of time.
That group moves faster. And
that group will have the fastest time ever in this event if Bean keeps going up to them and starts to talk. They'll be sprinting for the finish line.
How dare you?
Just saying.
I know, right?
Yeah, right indeed. Before I get to the week's final showbiz beat, I still have some final tickets to give away to see the comedy stylings of Mr. Aziz Ansari.
The answer is a flat no.
Well, you should not say that, Aziz, because these people will come to see you at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on May the 2nd is when it's happening. Aziz Ansari will be there. You know his very funny stand-up. Of course, you love him on Parks and Recreation. You've seen him in motion pictures. Here's your chance to see Aziz Ansari in person. If you'd like to go to the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on the 2nd, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Four winners will get a pair of tickets to see Aziz on that night. And if you don't win, don't feel bad, because you go to Ticketmaster.com and buy your tickets. You got to be 21 years of age or older to attend. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Hey, Dave.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Don't come down here. Just call or go to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something? Or can I just go down there? Because
come here at midnight.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
I'm sure there are. It's a big hotel.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Thanks.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't believe Aziz Ansari has an opening act, and I'm
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert?
He's calling for the wrong thing.
I think he's mistaken.
Sounds confused. Yeah.
I heard you guys talking.
And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Yeah, in the afternoon sometime. Whenever you hit the mini bar, Dave, that's when things get going. Heard you guys talking.
The Hoff loves to rock.
I understand that. That is it's a given, Dave.
He's confused.
We know you love to rock. I'm hesitant to kick into this next story.
I just wait till you talk and then hit it. All right, I'm done.
Heard you guys talking to your buddy Roland on the phone just moments ago.
He was not happy with us.
He seemed like he had been overserved.
Yeah, maybe a bit.
Sounds like too much partying in Cleveland.
People are celebrating the 75th anniversary of the character of Superman being created this week. And in a related story, just yesterday, a judge presented some good news to Warner Brothers and DC Comics, one of their subsidiary companies. The outstanding lawsuit against Warner's from the heirs of Superman co-creator Jerry Siegel has been tossed out of court. They were looking for more money, claiming that they had the movie rights to Superman, Superboy, and other characters that they created. But the judge said that an earlier settlement that was made between Warner's and the family of Jerry Siegel in 2001 did give the company complete rights to use those characters in motion pictures. So now the movie company can go ahead with various sequels and other plans they have in the works for Superman. So Siegel's family, out any additional money. Warner Brothers has full rights to that character. So, I mean, it's probably all legally sound, this decision, but it always makes me feel bad when creators of comic books or their families get sort of screwed out of some additional cash,
right?
Because there's so much. There's billions of dollars made off the backs of these characters, and the guys who actually came up with them have very little.
Ralph, none of those movies make money. I've seen the reports.
Have very little to show for it when it's all said and done, and they were the ones who started it all.
What do you suppose Batman has generated in all of its various incarnations through the last 70 years or whatever it's been?
Or Superman? Batman?
Superman. Okay, Superman.
Both the characters have generated several billion dollars worth of revenue for their related companies. So this was just handed to me breaking news. It's all over.
What's all over?
Porn star Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries now are officially divorced.
Oh, what about the trial where they air out all the dirty laundry?
There will be no trial. The judge this morning dissolved the marriage. And according to TMZ, they've discovered that Chris Humphries is walking away with nothing.
What?
Yeah, the prenup apparently was so ironclad that it never went to pass.
But what about the whole fraud thing?
He had demanded $7 million initially for the divorce. That was denied. He gets no money. Chris dropped his demand for an annulment based on fraud, and each party will then pay their own attorney's fees. She was threatening that if it went to trial and he lost, he would have to pay her attorney's fees as well.
But that's worth it for us.
Right. What about us?
Aren't they thinking about
nothing.
Us?
Chris Humphries gets nothing, and we get nothing.
Come on now.
That's very disappointing.
Self-centered.
Kim not only wins the case, but they also gave her a super-sized extra value meal. So she's very, very pleased.
So she's free to marry her baby daddy now.
Yeah. Like he's going to marry her. Like that'll happen. This is a big win for Kim and her lawyer, Laura Wasser, who, as we found out, is a big listener to the show. So we don't want to keep her name out of the story.
Hey,
the best.
She did what she wanted to do for a client. Well done.
That's right. It's over when they sign the official papers, but it seems like it's official because the judge said to Kim, "Congratulations on your dissolution." He said, "So it's all done."
And Kim said, "What's that mean? I don't know. I don't know the word.
I don't understand. Is that a designer?
Look how hairy I am now that I'm pregnant.
My lips look plump. Do my lips look plump to you? How big is my ass, really? Really, how big is that? I'm gonna lose a lot of weight after the baby's born and make a lot of money. Oh."
I've never heard her talk like that.
Oh, yeah, that's how she talks. So it's all over. No fun for us.
Aww.
I feel bad for the hump.
The hump is fine.
The hump doesn't get anything, though.
Got his own dance. Star Kim Kardashian.
For all his troubles, for all that hard work, it's nothing.
He probably had sex with her like four times.
That's true. What's the matter, Kev? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
What's happening, all Beer good. Mug? Fill me in. What's
all
happening
good.
On that
Don't
side?
Don't worry about it.
What's happening on that side of the room, Beer Mug?
There was a file that nobody heard.
Come on. Let's just move on with it. Kardashian. We're running toward the end of the show here.
And then you said the hump, and he's like, yeah, it's got its own dance.
No, you said the hump has nothing. Or the hump gets nothing. I said he's got his own dance.
Oh, you were doing a humpty dance joke.
That happened, but somebody else stepped on it. Stupid Beer Mug had to wait and bring it up.
I didn't get it at all. I apologize.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
What has happened to the last show biz beat of the week? Every week now, the last show biz beat is just a cluster F.
I don't know.
We need to start signing off at 9 a.m.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
We need to check out the 1 Million Moms. You know them, the conservative Christian group that complains about everything all the time. Some of their criticisms or boycotts or campaigns against certain companies include Oreos, Urban Outfitters, JCPenney, McDonald's, Pepsi, Home Depot.
They don't like anything.
They don't. Man.
Well, they've eliminated all of those companies from the world. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. They're thriving. Usually their problem is something to do with gay rights or what they call the homosexual agenda. Like when JCPenney hired Ellen DeGeneres to be a spokesperson, they lost their collective minds. The 1 Million Moms, which recent total is like 30,000 moms or something like that with this group. Anyway, they've got a new target. Now it's Kmart they're angry with. It's a new commercial by Kmart that is touting their new plan that they will ship any of their products to your home via Kmart.com for free if it's purchases of under 150 pounds worth of merchandise. You can get it shipped for free.
They're against free shipping?
No, what they're against is the spot that talks about how one gentleman shipped his pants. And he was very happy about that.
Oh.
And then his family decides they're going to ship. Then other people start shipping other things. And here's the commercial they hate.
Ship my pants. Right here? Ship my pants. You're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow. I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
Yeah. The OMM says it's disgusting and ridiculous. It should be pulled off the air immediately, that spot.
I pooped my pants.
Al Roker, also in an unrelated story, named the spokesperson for Kmart this week. So.
I mean, look, it's stupid and juvenile.
Of course it's juvenile, but
it's funny. It's cute.
It doesn't hurt anybody.
It's funny.
Look, everybody when they're four makes that joke.
It's
right?
Cute.
They almost use a bad word.
It's
it sounded kind of like a bad word.
Not a bad word. It's shipped. That's the word they're using, and it's fine. Everyone relax.
I would like to encourage Kmart to up their buy on this particular media requests, these commercials.
Okay.
They should up it.
All right.
Should do them more.
Don't get angry at me. Okay. Message received.
Make it happen now, Ralph.
I would like to bring the 1 million moms into a room with a big flat-screen TV and show them footage of West Texas burning and the hunt for the bombers in Boston and the problems we have with sequestration and the economic issues, and then just bang their head into the screen and say, these are real problems.
You're complaining about a Kmart commercial.
Stop complaining about Kmart commercials. That's why they won't let me have a gun. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Hayden Christensen's 32 years old today. Cade Hudson's 34. James Franco, very talented actor, is 35. Jesse James, motorcycle builder, TV personality. Famously married to Sandra Bullock before he broke her heart.
He's very generous with his penis, Mr.
He
James.
Is. He is not, he's not greedy when it comes
to... He's not Bogart that penis.
He does not. He's getting married again, by the way. He's found true love this time.
Yeah.
44 years old. Ashley Judd turns 45. Hip-hop mogul Suge Knight is 48
oh,
years old.
Oh, Kevin hate that guy.
That guy's the best.
He won't stop talking bad about
everything
him.
He does is he's
turns
a criminal,
to gold.
And he's a racist. Oh, never said a word of that.
Worst person ever.
I love
crook.
Him.
And actor Tim Curry, who most of the day we've been talking about his turn as Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show. But a lot of people have been writing in with their favorite Tim Curry performances, like Pennywise in It, the Stephen King novel about the killer clown. The crazy
Pennywise
killer clown.
Was in that?
He played Pennywise the clown.
Oh.
That's where Pennywise got their name from, was that particular clown. And he's been in a lot of other projects where he's very alternately funny or terrifying. He's 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. You're heading out to Coachella. Have a great weekend. If you're not, check out krock.com. We have a bunch of interviews and a bunch of live performances from the Coachella house. And we will see you on Monday morning.
Tell them about the tickets Monday, Kevin.
Plus, we've got some tickets Monday.
For what?
Depeche Mode.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
At the Troop.
Pass it over to me.
Good morning, reasons why I drink.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He is the head that eats the crayons.
Roll another one.
I think, frankly, you're out of
line. Just like the other one.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what
this
it is.
Seems to be about to quit.
Whatever, the truth is stupid.
Another hit.
And I think it's time for a little Suck It, Philly.
Suck It, Philly. Suck It, Philly.
Roll. Internet.
Just like the other one.
I cannot listen to this song. And
this one seems to be about to end.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Joe Tom.
I don't have another cent.
Stop acting like you know more about the internet cafe than me.
In fact, if you see him, punch him right in the balls.
Just pass it around.
So, was Mr. Wizard syndicated or what?
Enough's enough. It's time to end this madness. Let's put this freak show on ice.
But I really must be going.
I must be going too.
Everybody, listen. I have something important to announce. You can all relax. It's over. We're stopping now. Thanks. And congratulations to all. Great job. You can all go home to your families now. It's been a pleasure working with you. No use going on. Stop.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn.